Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Drinking.
Drinking juices? Are you on a juice diet?
Gin and juice.
Gin and juice.
I'm drinking Dr. Pepper. Old Dr. Pepper.
So am I. I'm drinking Dr. Pepper 10.
This episode is sponsored by Dr. Pepper.
Our favorite doctor to drink.
The only doctor we drink.
I'm glad they pay us to do this.
The podcast?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's good to have a sponsor.
Delicious. I like waking up in the morning and having a delicious Dr. Pepper before breakfast.
You'd be surprised. I do that almost every because I'm not a coffee drinker.
Yeah, there's people in the office. Most people are coffee drinkers, but there are those who hit the pop machine every morning.
Yeah, that's me.
For their 20-ouncer.
So no Micah today. It sounds like he was a host to late-night movie viewing.
It was hard to tell from his email what he was up to. Yeah. Something that went on late into the night.
I did podcast with Daryl and Keith last night, and Daryl absolutely loved the last Geek Brunch because you guys were giving Keith so much shit about D&D. I think we went off on that for like 4.5 hours, man.
Inspired a whole episode.
Yeah, inspired a whole 2 episodes.
Well, it's such an easy target.
Daryl said he listened to it twice because he loved it so much.
Oh, that is Daryl's favorite topic. Keith bashing.
Yeah. So how was C2E2?
It was good. Yeah, so that was last weekend? Yeah, last weekend. C2E2 here in Chicago. It's interesting because I've gone every year, and it seems like every year they change what room they're in. Because they do it at McCormick Place, which is like the big convention center in Chicago, right? Just south of downtown Chicago. So it's in the city itself. And in this facility, it's not like normal facilities where they have like one room. You know, it's a convention center and they have the one convention center room and that's it. They have like multiple rooms that are all huge. Because this is the place that they have like the car show and they have like, they used to have, what was that electronics convention? I can't remember what it's called now.
I don't know.
E3 or something. One of the
video one? Game. E3. Yeah, I think it is E3.
Something like, it's one of those. They used to have that there. So they have all the major conventions in Chicago are there. So they had it in a different room this year than previous years. Because I think they keep going to like bigger rooms. I think they just keep getting bigger and bigger every year. This one was kind of interesting because like in the kind of the center of the room, there was a raised level where you walk up the stairs to the second level and there's like a
wrestling
food, like no food.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say like a mud wrestling.
Mud wrestling ring.
extreme fighting.
And that was going on all day.
You participated in cage fighting.
Like in the off topic, off track.
It was like over the top. They'd arm wrestle each other, like in the Sylvester Stallone movie.
Did you read that one? It's one of the female barbarian characters. I don't know if it was Red Sonja or one of the others, where she went to like some bar and they were doing like cage fighting. No. Do you ever read that one?
Don't remember. I read so much Red Sonja, and she's always in a bar. And she's always fighting.
I don't remember if it was Red Sonja, but she went to a bar, and there's... Is her... Does Vampirella fight?
Vampirella had one recently.
Maybe it's a Vampirella one.
It's like Vampirella Strikes fighting. Or something.
Was she cage fighting in a bar?
She fought a lot of dudes. I don't remember it cage fighting.
And they're like dudes with like powers and stuff.
I guess.
I read the first one, but I don't remember what it was. I have to go back and read that one because I liked it. So anyway, yeah, so they had the cage fighting. No cage fighting. And then, so the way they have the room set up, it's like, so it's funny. So I first walk in and they have like the comic, not dealers, but the comic companies. So they have Marvel and DC and Archaea and all that jazz, Action Labs. I don't know, all of them are there. Avatar, IDW, Boom, all of them. They actually get... Out of the two conventions in Chicago, they get more of the companies than Wizard World. Wizard World gets no comic companies anymore. They used to get all of them. So basically, this is what like Wizard World used to be in terms of the comic companies themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Marvel or DC has been at Wizard World in several years.
What'd you get to see, Alan?
I did not see Alan.
Oh.
For some reason, I was only able to go one day, and I just never. There's so many people there. I'll tell you, I should have run into him. It's my own fault that I didn't. So I'll get to that. So on one side of the room, it was interesting. So I went to the comic through the comic companies, and then I went back to the comic dealers. So I was looking through, you know, the comics as I love to do, and then behind that they had Artist Alley. So I went to Artist Alley and I was going through Artist Alley and I was like, and I was noticing that, you know, I had gone through all this stuff and I really didn't see a lot of toy dealers and I thought that was interesting, but I hadn't gone through the whole place yet. So then I went to a panel. It was a good panel. It was on writing for comics, and it had Mike Costa, Joshua Hale, Fialkov, or whatever his name is,
mm-hmm.
and another guy. It was hosted by Comics Experience, but it was basically Mike Costa and Joshua Hale Fialkov talking, and I like both of those guys writing, so it was real interesting to hear them talk about the stuff they've worked on and how they work and things like that. And they're both talking about, because they've both done both independent stuff and stuff for, I think they both work for, I don't know if they both work for Marvel and DC. I think they probably have. I know Joshua Hale Fialkov is writing stuff for Marvel right now. And he quit DC, right?
Yeah, he was writing Night Vampire. And he was writing Red Lanterns and a couple others.
And then Mike Costa, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what he's
Mike
done.
Mike Costa is the G.I. Joe Cobra, yeah.
And I guess he's done Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
And they've both done Masters of the Universe recently because they were talking about that, how they liked each other's stories.
I like Mike Costa. I mean, I like his style. I didn't buy his Transformers because I don't like to read Transformers.
Yeah, I've never gotten into Transformers. Something about robots with personalities just doesn't work for me.
Yeah. I like the movies. I'm one of those fans that fans hate. Like, I like to watch the movies, but I don't want to read the comics.
Yeah, you
don't or watch the cartoon.
Yeah, and in their eyes, the movie's like the weakest of
Yeah. So I'm the opposite when it comes to that, which is weird for me because I'm like a huge comic buff.
Yeah, usually coming from the other side.
Yeah, I bought the 4-issue mini like when it came out in Marvel, and I hated it. Like, I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
Like back in the day?
Yeah, back in the day, I bought the 4-issue. It didn't turn out to be a mini; it turned out to be an ongoing. But it was like
a 4-issue
mini.
Yeah.
And then I bought Star Years. I think that was a toy-based robot thing.
Yeah, I think so.
And I fucking hated that. And then I was like, I ain't going to buy robots anymore.
I'm done with robots.
But then I found Magnus, who destroys robots. Magnus Robot Fighter. And I was like, this is awesome.
Finally, I found what I'm looking for.
And then I read 2000 AD's Robo Hunter, and the guy's destroying robots. And I was like, yes, I found what I'm looking for.
Robot killing. Yeah, I don't know if there's any robot books that I actually like. See, I think I got some of the Transformers back then. My brother was of Transformer age. He was like 4 years younger than me. So my brother was in the Transformers G.I. Joe age. So I knew about all that stuff through him, but I was never really into all that stuff. I was the generation before.
Yeah.
I think that's why we don't have as much of a connection to it as a lot of people do, just because we were busy with our Star Wars toy. We didn't have time for all that other nonsense.
Yeah.
Star Wars and Hot Wheels.
I never was the Hot Wheel guy. I was the Tyco guy. I had the cars that really would go fast and not have to be manually propelled.
Oh, the tracks? Yeah.
Yeah.
I had those too.
It had a little electrical thing that you'd stick in the middle of the track, and those things went fast, man. I mean, for the time.
The controls had that thing where it like slid back and forth.
Yeah.
To control the speed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would crash and wipe out and fly off the track.
I had an awesome 57 Chevy. I remember it distinctively. It was blue. And I used to race that one against all my friends, and it'd usually win. Until somebody brought a Camaro and beat me.
So what would control if the car was better? Just the wheels and stuff?
I don't know.
It must be, like, the least...
It's the aerodynamics of it and the wheels and... I don't know. They'd go pretty fast, though, because if you went too fast, you could knock yourself off the track, like you said. You'd have to be a good driver also.
Yeah, you'd have to be good with the trigger.
You'd have to be really good with the triggers, know when to let off. You didn't have really a brake, but you could let the gas, let off the gas.
Right. Yeah, you had to be careful around the corners, because otherwise you'd go flying right off the edge. And then they had some with the crisscross tracks.
Yeah, and I had this one that was really fun. It wasn't Tyco, but it was the crisscross track that you could, like, damage the other car. Like, it had these bumpers, and if you hit the bumper, the more you hit it, the more damage you could do to the car.
Okay, yeah.
It was awesome, because the hood would start to pop up, and it would start not being as fast. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I remember, what were the ones that... Like Smash Up Derby? Was there Smash Up Derby cars where they crash them into each other and like pieces fly off?
I never had those.
Those are like a little bigger.
Yeah. Demolition Derby?
Yeah, I think it was a Demolition Derby. Because like the bumper would push in and something would fly, like the doors would fly off.
Yeah, the doors would fly off, yeah.
You got to remember the commercials for that. Good times.
Yeah, I never got any G.I. Joe toys or Transformer toys. That was when I was going out of toys. I still was onto the superhero stuff, though. I'd still look for, like, the superpowers or the Star Wars stuff occasionally.
Yeah. I was still getting the Star Wars stuff, I'm sure, at that time. That's when all the cool stuff was coming out.
Yeah.
The new Falcon and...
That's a hobby I would like to get back into, but I just can't do is because
toys.
Yeah, toys in general. I love toys, and there's so many good ones that I want to get, but it's just such an expensive and space consuming hobby.
Yeah, that's the big problem.
Comics are bad enough. But at least you can shove them in a box.
Yeah, comics you can file away easy, and they're easy to store, and they're not things that you need to have on display. Whereas toys, they don't store very well because they don't fit very well in boxes. Plus, the point of having them is to look at them, so. Or I guess the point of them is to play with them, but.
I'm the opposite. I just buy them and collect them.
Yeah, I buy them and stick them in boxes and just put them in the basement. I haven't bought a toy in a long time, though. But for a while there, I was into toys.
I still see toys. I just bought I was at Target and I bought the Inhumans. It had Black Bolt, Medusa, and Karnak. So that was cool.
Those are unusual ones, right? For toys?
Yeah, I've never seen them before. See. And they're Kirby creations and I love them. I tend to, as far as...
The exception is Kirby toys.
or obscure. Like, if I see something that you don't see every day, then I'll get it. Because then I'll regret it if I didn't.
I haven't gotten so many toys. I sometimes get statues or busts.
Yeah, I'm back into that now because they got the DC... female Bombshells ones. The ones that look like they're from the 40s.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have room for them, but I just couldn't resist them.
How many of them are there?
I don't know. They have 3 so far solicited. There's a Supergirl, a Wonder Woman, and a Poison Ivy so far. I think there's going to be like 6.
Okay. That's not too bad then. It's not like the Eagle Shams or whatever they're called.
Eagle Moss? Eagle Moss. They stopped those, though. That sucks.
Well, aren't there like 100 of them or something?
Well, I have all of them. And I know you do. I wanted to keep going because there's so much more to
so many more
to characters. Have. Yeah. The only thing I didn't like towards the tail end of the run is they couldn't make up their mind whether they wanted to be New 52 or old stuff. And I like the old school costumes still.
I didn't know they did any of the New 52 ones.
They did a Wonder Girl in the New 52 costume and a Kid Flash in the New 52 costume. I think those were the only two.
Why'd they stop?
They went into the chess pieces, which I wouldn't mind getting, but I didn't jump on when I needed to jump on, and I decided not to. So you're telling us about we vectored off C2E2. I don't know how we got into racetrack.
Let's see. We were talking about Transformers. Mike Costa, is that where we started at?
That's where. And then all of a sudden we were talking Tyco. I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah, so he was talking about, he did Cobra with Christos Gage, right?
Yeah.
And he said the way they worked is Mike Costa would write the whole script and then pass it off to Gage and he would...
dialogue.
Make changes or whatever. They probably like brainstorm the stories together and then he would do the first pass and then they would go back and forth on it.
That was only the first series though, wasn't it? And then they went Cobra 2 and then the other one and it's just been Costa since, right?
I'm looking at the trades and they all have the first 4 have Gage on them. But then Son of the Snake only has Costa. So is he? Did he take it over completely?
Yeah, the new one too.
Okay. So that was an interesting panel. So this is the reason I didn't get to see Alan. So Alan was sitting at a table for like a couple hours.
Yeah.
And my panel, I think he was at the table till like 2, and my panel went to like 1:30. So I figured, oh, cool, panel end, and I'll just go to find the table. So I made 2 mistakes. 1, I didn't know where the table was. And 2, For some reason, when I went in, this time, instead of going through the comic dealer side, mm-hmm. I ended up going through finding the other section, which is toys, all the toy dealers. And man, there were so many freaking people. It was weird because, well, by that point, it was later in the day. So the morning, there was less people, and it was actually kind of nice there. It was a lot of people, but it wasn't, like, packed.
You could walk around.
Yeah, you could walk around. But then when I went in the toy section, you couldn't walk around. I mean, I was, like, there were times where you're, like, standing, waiting for the people to move again, because it was just so, there were so many people everywhere. It was a nightmare. Good for the show, though. So, yeah, needless to say, by the time I made it to the table, it was past 2, and he was nowhere to be found, so. And then I kept my eyes open the rest of the show as I was walking around, but I didn't. I never saw him. So.
You should have called him and you said, "Alan, I'm here. This is Bill from Geek Brunch. This is the superstar Bill Bomer."
I'd be planning ahead.
Host of Geek Brunch.
You may have heard of me.
You may have heard of me.
From the internet.
I'm the guy that puts down D&D. Say you're a nasty dungeon master.
That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true or not. I was gonna ask him about it. I was gonna ask him about the show. I think he might have been avoiding me. That's another possibility.
Did you talk to anybody? Did you see the 11 o'clock guys? Or
no, I didn't see any of the 11 o'clock guys.
But you don't like all the 11 o'clock guys, right? I mean, you didn't say that, but there's some that you don't like to listen to, let's just say.
Yeah, so there's always going to be people whose opinions you disagree with. So. I did see a neighbor of mine there.
A neighbor?
Yeah. Well, there's a guy who, he's actually, his daughter is in kindergarten with my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to him before because when occasionally I pick up my son from kindergarten and I've talked to him, and I know he's into comics, and I knew he was going to be there, but I was walking around and I was walking over to, whose table was it? It was, Ryan Kelly. Is that his name?
Who? The artist?
Yeah. The artist.
I think there's a Ryan Kelly. I just can't think of.
He does a. He's doing that Alien comic that you like.
The Alien comic.
The Vertigo one.
Oh, Saucer Country. You're right. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So I was walking over. I saw his table. So I was walking over and standing right there was my neighbor. I'm like, hey. So I hung out with him for a while.
Ah. Is he a comic fan?
Yeah.
And you didn't even know that?
No, I knew that.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's as into comics as we are, but he likes comics enough to go to the shows.
I wish my brothers were closer to me. It'd be awesome. I'd like, fucking, we're going to go see Iron Man today.
Do any of your brothers like comics? Wait, what do you have? You still have a brother, right?
No, my brother likes comics. I was meaning you guys.
Oh, your real brothers.
Podcasting brothers, yeah.
Your brother likes comics?
He used to. He wants me to sell his comics now, so I gotta put up a shop. But I don't want to do it until I'm back. I'm going to go to Phoenix for a while, so I don't want to do it until I'm back from Phoenix.
For work?
No, this is a pleasure.
Nice. So, so C2E2, overall, had a pretty big artist alley. And artist alley is pretty cool because they had pretty wide aisles. So it was easy to walk around. Saw a bunch of creators there. Got some stuff. Think as much stuff as I have in the past, but.
What'd you get?
Some stuff. Shit, I don't
know. Anything worth mentioning?
Or yeah, I don't know.
You don't remember? It was number one.
Got some number ones. Oh, I should have.
Did you get any sketches or no?
No, I didn't get any sketches. I'm not a big sketch guy.
Ah.
I like the original pages, but I'm not so into sketches. I have some sketches.
I'm a big sketch guy, but I only go only after one dude usually.
You're very focused. Yeah, I have some sketches, but not a tremendous amount. I don't think I got any art from the show. Got a couple books. Oh, shit. I did get a couple things that I was going to talk about. What did I do with that? Nah, I don't know. Yeah, I got some stuff. The one thing, the one thing I noticed about C2E2, and I don't know if it's just me or if it is true, but it seems like there's less people bringing out comics and more like artists of books.
Ah.
You know what I mean? There's less like small independent publishers who brought out a book themselves or whatever. But there's more, there's a lot of bigger names. There are some people selling individual comics, but, and a lot of people just with art and selling prints and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Doing sketches. Some celebrities. I didn't see any of the celebrities. I didn't go over there.
You were just there one day?
Yeah, just one day.
That's in your backyard, man.
Yeah. Right, it's like an hour away.
It's your, like, your backyard.
I know. I'll go 2 days next year.
You're not going to Heroes this year, huh?
3 days. No, probably not.
Why?
Melanie doesn't want to go.
But you can go.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Well, think really hard. It's almost, it's really,
it's coming up.
It's coming up here.
When is that? June?
Yeah, you can maybe share a bed with Knudsen. You might roll a six.
I know, he's going to cast some spells on me or something. Does he wear like some kind of wizard's outfit to bed?
Yeah, he doesn't wear anything to bed. I guess you could call that a wizard's outfit. I don't know. He's coming after you, Bomer. After that Geek Brunch episode, he's seeking revenge on you and Micah. Micah for his panty shots.
I have to go back and listen to that episode.
I don't know. Daryl loved it. He's texting me during the whole episode. He's like, "This is great."
We only speak the truth.
We don't lie.
C2E2 was enjoyable.
One day you were there.
The one day I was there. Did I ever talk about the convention that was real close to me that was at the flea market?
Yeah, I think you did. That was the week before.
Yeah, it was like the week before. And then my hotel convention is next weekend.
Ah.
conventions every day, every weekend, it seems.
I'm entering con season. Like where I'm going every weekend, like somewhere. But I don't have them like in my backyard like you. I have to actually travel.
So did you find out, are they having that sci-fi one?
They had the sci-fi one already. I didn't go to it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of... They really sucked that one up, man. Like, it was awesome last year. It was the best it's ever been. And this year is like... The only good person they had was Mike Grell. And everybody else was just like... I hadn't even heard of before. So I decided just not to go. But, I am going to Heroes in Baltimore. And
Is that because the new Denver con is taking everyone?
Yeah, that's it right there. Yeah. Matter of fact, you reminded me, I got to try to get tickets for Kirby Crackle. I got to do that today, or I might not get another opportunity.
The biome?
Yeah, they play at the Hard Rock, so they have like a rock Comic Con on the Saturday night, and it's got like a bunch of different bands, like geek bands.
Yeah,
but you have to get tickets for it.
That'd be cool. You went to that before?
Yeah, we went last year. It was awesome.
Oh, they got Charlito's band playing?
From Indie Spinner Rack. They're great. They're so much fun. It was a good time, so I look forward to it.
Yeah, I imagine they're fun because Charlito's just like a ball of energy. So.
Yeah, he's actually runs this con. It's from Denver, so.
Yeah.
Him and the other guy from Indie Spinner Rack and Bruce McIntosh and a bunch of other people that I know. I'm not real close to those guys, like a lot of my East Coast friends, like buddy-buddy with them.
And they're right in your backyard.
I know them, you know. Like, I hung out a little bit with Peter Rios when he was at Denver Con, and because Charlito had him come down to help coordinate stuff and moderate, like, a lot of the panels.
Okay.
And he did that for him last year. And, yeah, who knows? I always have a good time at a con and usually do something to embarrass myself in front of somebody. And
as long as you don't make fun of an artist's art right in front of them.
Or
say, I like this book, but...
That's key.
The story was good, but I don't like the art.
No, but I did, like, spoil a childhood's dream of being
in a comic
book, and I do stupid shit like that.
You ruin a childhood.
Yeah. I crush somebody's dream. Surprise.
You crush the dad's dream.
Yeah. I'm just a motherfucker that way. So did you read anything?
Comic books?
Yeah.
Hey, how was your free comic book day?
I didn't go.
You didn't go?
No.
You don't support comics?
I support more comics than anybody. The whole industry would crash if it wasn't for me. They'd be like, what the fuck?
I don't know. I think Bob Breitel still has you beat.
No, he doesn't. I actually went on their webpage and we counted comics. I'm beating Bob and John. Not combined, but both of them.
For monthly?
Monthly intake, yeah. I'm at 225 a month.
225 a month?
Yeah.
That's like 10 a day. No, that's like 6 a day.
I'm in crazy that way. That doesn't include the other hardcovers and shit I buy.
You're a beast. That means you got to do more than 40 a week.
I do. I'm falling farther and farther behind. My unread boxes are getting pretty big, man.
Yeah, it's like 40 is not too bad, but
40 on average, I'm hitting like I think between 40 and 50 books a week, easy. Like reading that, like that's like nothing for me. On a week when I'm off, I'll hit like 60. Like if I have a down week,
yeah.
I'll hit like 60, sometimes 100, depending on how much down. But I read a lot of comics, and I don't like to miss stuff, so I buy a lot of shit. Now I'm on this Image kick, so I buy all the Images.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
I want to talk about a book that I wasn't so crazy about, but I was looking forward to.
Okay.
It's a number one, and it's probably... the first Avatar book I didn't like.
Oh, number zero?
Oh, number zero, yeah.
Yeah, I read that.
Uber. I thought it was a clusterfuck of confusion. I thought the artwork was just fine. Like, it's like any other Avatar book.
Yep, looks like Avatar art.
I thought it hopped around with so many different characters. And the story was so damn confusing. Like, I got the gist of it. Like, they're making super soldiers. Like, that one scientist is injecting people with shit.
Right there. It looked like they were, like, trying to... because they were, like, doing tests where they were doing something to people. and everyone died except for one, and then that person had like some genetic mutation that they could turn into this superpower.
Yeah, and the one scientist, like a heartless wench who fucked up her co-scientist at the end. And it seems like this is towards the tail end of the war, like when the Nazis are going to lose.
Right, they're about to lose. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of chaos going on, and there's some guy that's hiding in his basement.
And I was
going
to say, there's a dude who I don't even know who he was in his basement for some reason.
I'm describing the story, but it's like bouncing around. There's no flow to it. And well, I just couldn't.
It was sequential.
It.
Like the dates, it was all in order, but yeah, they were jumping back and forth between the characters. The one problem I had with it, it seemed like it was just giving you a bunch of facts, but there was no real story that I could follow.
That's where I had my problem with it.
Yeah, because he was. I think if you're like really into history, you might like this. Because I think he did a lot of research to fit it into history. Because he's talking about stuff going on in the war that I'm sure happened in real life. And I think if you know a lot about the war, then you probably get more out of this. But to me, it was just like, it was almost like little news chunks. Like, here's what happened here, and then here's what happened here, and here's what happened here, and here's what happened here. But there's no, like, story flow throughout the book.
That's where my problem was, and I couldn't get in, like...
Yeah, there's no like entry point for me to get in,
and I know I have pre-ordered number one and two because like Avatar is like a done deal with me usually.
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna pre-order number four number three because I'm gonna go on the safe side and I'm gonna read it as soon as I get it, like number one, and I'm gonna make my judgment there.
Yeah, make
your
decision.
Yeah, because I just was not feeling that book. Just was not feeling it. Yeah, and it had nothing to do with the art. Nothing. Like, I was perfectly fine with the... It's an Avatar-drawn book. It looks like Avatar art. Real clean, realistic style.
Mm-hmm.
Really good art. But for me, it's all about story. I could have a good story with bad art because I can adjust to the art style.
Right.
I can't go the other way. Like... The art could just be damn beautiful, and I'm so distracted trying to understand the story that I don't know. That was the first book in a long time I've rated a 2 out of 5, and I usually like everything.
Avatar.
Yeah, I couldn't feel it. I couldn't feel it.
It was pretty rough. And it seemed like, I mean, did you read the blurb at the end where he's talking about working on the story?
No, I didn't read the blurb. I was so discouraged. I didn't want to know any more about it.
Yeah. I think he was talking about how he did all this research and he came up with like this, like a Bible of the story that like outlines the entire story. And I think he went really in depth into the research side of it. And I think he might have lost, I don't know, the story in there. But the only thing I can say is this is a zero issue, so maybe it was kind of like an info dump, and then issue number one maybe will pick up with an actual story where you can follow like a character.
Yeah, well, I pre-ordered it, so I'll be sure and talk about it.
The only part, the one part I did like though was that like little sniper girl or whatever she was.
Oh yeah, that was
in the street.
That was bizarre. That was a little interesting.
That was the one character I was
were
like.
Were those Russian soldiers or American soldiers? I couldn't tell.
I don't remember.
I knew they were Allied soldiers, but they were evil. Those soldiers were evil.
Yeah,
they're raping women. German women and stuff.
Yeah.
And that one little girl's twisted, man. There's something wrong with that girl.
I don't think she's really a little girl, but.
Okay.
She's short, the short girl. Maybe she was a little girl. I don't know. I guess she was kind of like young. Yeah, but that guy was, he was trying to hook up with his little girl.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I didn't know if it was just that caught me at the wrong time, but man, it just like.
No, it was pretty rough.
I felt the same way with you. It was like reading a clip, then reading another clip, and I wasn't joining the clips. And then it was like five clips later when it would return to the clip that you were starting to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so far apart that it had no flow, you know, fluid way about it, you know.
It was hard to follow.
Choppy.
It's setting up these Ubermenches or whatever. But I don't know. It did it in a strange way. Lots of facts about times and dates and strategies and positioning. And I think if you're, like I said, if you're into war and war strategy and stuff like that and are familiar with the battles and things that went on during the war, then you probably like it more.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, I need to step away for about like 5 minutes. Could you hold on just a bit?
Sure.
Okay.
Ooh.
Well, I never used pause recording before. I hope that works.
Find out.
Yeah.
Is it unpaused now?
It's unpaused. I see the number going forward again.
So why didn't you go to Free Comic Book Day?
I don't normally go to Free Comic Book Day. I figure I'm not the guy that they're catering to. But, sure. I mean, there's a few that I want, and I usually get them through DCBS because they let you have 5, so.
Yeah.
Let other people get them, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I wanted to get the Aphrodite one because that's a number one. Like, it's number one, and then they didn't solicit number one. That's, like, the first part of the story.
Yeah.
But I saw that they had it on Comixology. And we had a couple errands to run yesterday. That's the real truth behind it. So.
So you're doing other things. Yeah, I went over with.
Barb got to do her fun thing yesterday. She went and bought cooking appliances at a warehouse sale. So.
Anything good?
I'm not a cooking dude, but there's a lot of pans and specialty things she got. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a chef place. Like if you're a restaurant, it was like a restaurant warehouse sale.
Oh, nice. So she got some good stuff.
Yeah. I wouldn't know if it's good or not because I never cook, but I know how to microwave a mean dish.
Yeah, we went to one shop yesterday. I dragged my kids. Of course, for the second year in a row, my kids didn't want to go. So I had to drag them along. Last year they wouldn't go at all. But this year I said, no. Well, actually, this year my son wanted to go, but my daughter didn't want to go. But I said, too bad you're going. You will eat your comic books. You will read comics.
Yeah.
No child of mine will.
Do you want a spanking?
You know what's good for you. You'll read those comics.
Read those comics.
I lay down the law in this house. I wouldn't stand for such nonsense.
There will be comic readers in this family, damn it.
You will read comics.
So what was their hesitation? Like, would they wanted to really play video games or they didn't?
Well, yeah, I think my daughter just wanted to stay home and play. And I don't think it was. She reads stuff. She reads comics. So it wasn't. It's not that she doesn't like comics to read.
Well, once they were there, did they enjoy themselves, or was it a boring one?
No, we weren't there for very long, but the place we go to, they have the kids' comics on one side of the store, and then the adult ones on the other side. So it's nice for them. So they just go over to the kids' one and grab their.
And then you're in the adult section.
Yeah, and then
Avatar Press.
I go to the adult section.
Crossed.
Get all the good stuff.
Sex and what was the other book? Black Kiss 2.
Ah, Black Kiss 2. And then I always like to buy something when I'm there because I don't just go in and get the free stuff.
What did you buy?
Well, the kids each got an ugly doll because every time we go there, they get an ugly doll.
And what are those?
Those are these little ugly dolls.
Oh.
They're like these stuffed, simple stuffed animals with different shapes. Yeah. Actually, one of the Free Comic Book Day comics was an Ugly Doll comic. So here I'll go. My kids got Ugly Doll, SpongeBob, the Boom Kids one, which had like Adventure Time, and I don't remember what else was in it. Molly Danger, Batman, Teen Titans. Those ones I remember. Oh, I forced my daughter to get Archie, even though she didn't want it, because I know she'd like it. She hasn't read any Archie before, so.
Archie's great.
Yeah, they had like a little. Archie was like a little digest, you know, the little digests they have.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, she's like, I don't want it. I'm like, just get it. It's free. Take it. You'll like it. I know she'll like it when she actually reads it. I think their favorite, they really like the Sponge. I think they like the SpongeBob one the best, and the Ugly Doll one. They like that one.
Mm-hmm.
So they got their Ugly Dolls, and I picked up. I actually got a mini comic. Rooster Jack versus the Mermaids.
How much was that mini comic?
$1.50.
Yeah, that's the only thing I don't like about mini comics. They're so damn small.
Sometimes they're like, usually they're like $5. Though.
I know at the cons they're like $5, and I'm like,
I can't do it.
I want to see like $1.25.
Yeah, that's the one thing I don't like about mini comics. This one was $1.50, but it's short. It's only like, I don't know, 10 pages or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I can talk about it. It was good. I liked it. I like the art. So it's by Adam Hansen and art by Ben Smith.
What is the title on that one again? So I can write it down.
Rooster Jack versus the Mermaids.
Rooster Jack.
It's actually Rooster Jack number 2, I guess.
Oh, this is... You got a number 2 without getting a number 1? Oh, my.
I guess technically they had number 1. I flipped through number 1 and it didn't really appeal to me, so I...
What? So you just jumped in that 2?
I jumped straight into number 2.
Damn.
Ah, damn the rules.
Damn them.
The hell with order and structure.
He didn't find his way until issue 2.
No, actually, they didn't have... I don't think they had number 1. Maybe that's what it was. There's a reason I didn't get number 1. They had like another one. I think they had another one, but I wasn't sure if it was number 1 or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still not real sure. But this is about... So it's about Rooster Jack, who is a guy who has a rooster claw for one of his hands. And a bunch of sidekicks. There's a fairy, a little wizard looking dude, like a warrior guy, and another guy. So they go on this little adventure where they're looking for something. I don't remember what they're looking for. And they end up finding this, they walk into this ocean, but there's like a pathway through the ocean, kind of like when Moses separated the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible movie. And so you can walk like
the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, the Ten Commandments movie. Where you split the water and mm-hmm. there's like, so they start walking through there, and then they see these mermaids like in the water. But they're like not touching them, obviously, because they're not coming out of the water. And then they find this like skeleton on the ground with a crown. And they realize that this must be a mermaid that somehow fell out of the water. And then as they're walking away, one of the guys accidentally steps on the skull of the skeleton. And all the mermaids turn from mermaids to like creatures. And then they run. So it was pretty entertaining and fun. And I like the art a lot. So I guess they have at the back they're advertising a 36-page comic, so I'll have to check that one out, because it was enjoyable. It was an enjoyable little story, so I was glad I picked that one up.
Black and white, right?
Yeah, black and white.
What else did you buy?
I think that's all I bought there. Oh, no, I bought a issue of not a non-comic book, the latest issue of Comet Bus fanzine.
Oh, never heard of that.
It's been coming out. It's from a guy in Berkeley. It's been coming out for since the 80s.
Long. And then he bought the Ugly Dolls.
And I bought the Ugly Dolls.
Are those like, what were those Beanie Babies, but they're ugly? Or are they something different?
I guess a similar type thing, but they're different. They're like different sizes. They're more like a simple stuffed animal kind of monster. Monsters.
Hmm.
They're apparently popular. The kids seem to like them.
Cool.
So what'd you read?
Another one I read is Ted McKeever's Miniature Jesus.
Oh, I read that. Wow.
I don't know what to think about this one. I'm on the fence. I liked it a hell of a lot more than Uber. I thought the art was fantastic.
Yeah, McKeever's art is like this and the Mondo that he brought out. His artwork has definitely changed from his old art. He's a lot more detailed, I think.
I don't regret purchasing this. I'm just on the fence on it because it's really weird.
Where it's going to go? Yeah.
Yeah, this one. I mean, the majority of the story was about that drunk guy or the recovering alcoholic or whatever. He's got like
his visions,
cat visions and monster visions talking to him,
and he's walking around like what appears to be like a town that has been shut down. I'm guessing due to the economy. Like stores that are no longer open.
That's why I didn't. Oh, he was at Kroger's. That store was open. And then he goes back to a place where he's hanging out, which is like an old, the pudding liquor bar and gas. And it's really weird. Like he's throwing fingers to entities that aren't even there. And you don't know if he's really drunk or really fucked up. And then this preacher is just weird, man. He's like preaching and this little kid's listening and he's saying, but pastor,
in this church, right?
Yeah. He's like, pastor, you gotta look behind you. Jesus is moving off the cross. And he's like, what is this? It's an abomination. And he goes to step on it. And miniature Jesus is like, he lifted up his foot, holding up his foot.
Yeah, and miniature Jesus, wait, he's like about 4 inches tall?
Yeah.
It's a little miniature Jesus.
It was really weird. I'm pretty sure I'm going to add it to my pull list, though, because I want to see where it's going to go. It's unusual. The art is nice. I love the Golden Age style format. I'm becoming a really big fan of that.
Yeah, the image is doing.
It makes the art pop more. It makes the paper quality, like, I love this paper. This paper is not that glossy shit. I just love it. So, yeah, I'm a...
Well, I also like that at least Image has been bringing these things out, and it's the same price as the regular issues.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So Derek's going to join us.
And I'm getting it. I get all McKeever's stuff, so.
He's going to be playing Micah today.
Oh, Micah. Welcome to the... Hey, wait, welcome to Geek Brunch, episode 181. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Hello, guys.
Hey, we were just talking about Ted McKeever's Miniature Jesus.
I have not read that.
We talked about two books, and me and Bill had both read them.
I read books.
You read books.
Yeah.
You are playing the role of Micah today.
Micah, yeah.
I read books and I had salad for breakfast.
Did you play D&D this morning?
I didn't get a chance to roll the die.
Keith doesn't want to play with you.
Keith rolled the die all night and all morning, I think.
Just remember to take your clothes off before you play.
It's recorded on the show that he said, I use my own finger. Remember that, Mike?
Yeah, he says, I use my own finger.
He said it. He said it on the show. It's recorded.
The more he talked, the more he dug himself and he put himself
deeper and deeper.
Yeah. He asked Alan for help, and Alan said, "I can't help you. You're drunk. I ain't gonna help you, drunk Keith.
I don't want no part of drunk Keith." Even Alan gave up on drunk Keith. He couldn't do it. He said, "I can't defend drunk Keith." I'm out.
So, Bill was just telling us about C2E2, and then we talked a little bit about Free Comic Book Day. Bill did go.
You took the kids?
I took the kids.
Well, if you
forced the kids to go.
He put collars around them and dragged them. They were like, "Daddy, I don't want to go to Free Comic Book Day." It's like, "You will read comics if you're going to live under my roof."
That's right. If you know what's good for you.
Good man.
You will read comic books.
That's right. You force those kids to read those comics.
Put down that book.
And that's good parenting. That's what we need more of in today's world.
Most more parents should make their children read comic books.
It's time out. You're going to get time out. You go in that corner and read your comics. Yeah. I don't want to read comics. I don't watch TV. You go down in that corner and you read those damn comics.
Go in this school and look at them reading a textbook. You slap the textbook out of their hand. Put that down.
There better be a comic book hidden behind that textbook.
As soon as you finish with Miniature Jesus, I want a report about what happened in that book.
You read Saga right now.
You read Uber and then explain it to me.
Yeah. I didn't understand a damn thing in Uber number zero. Can you read it and you explain it to me?
Do it.
I need a paper on that book.
Stop crying.
It's probably weird in that book, Uber, because I think I could be convinced to like it if somebody could explain to me what the fuck happened.
If you drug me and then explain it to me.
Maybe I'd like it.
Maybe I bet you Keith would like it.
Yeah,
he'd only like it stuff. If I say I don't. If I look at it and go, "I don't like it," then Keith
then he'll love it.
And say that I didn't like it. And then Keith will go, "Well,
it's a human condition.
This is the human condition, and I think I like it.
It's a slice of life.
It's a slice of life." And every time I get ready to talk about a DC book, he'll just start talking about the book, Uber.
And it's a number zero, so he can't refuse.
But is it a second printing?
Oh, no, but it's an Avatar book. He can't have that in his house.
Oh, he can't bring that in the house. He's a married man. He can't have that in his house.
A married man.
He's a married man.
What are you thinking?
You gotta have you gotta tell him it's a D&D book or something so that he can do it. It's okay.
Yeah, there's no men in loincloths.
Then he can't do it. He can't do it. He'll get in trouble. Did you tell him about his Soda Stream?
Yeah, he's drinking Soda Stream, whatever the fuck that is.
Straight from the stream. All you heard, what?
Michelle wasn't there last night, so.
Uh-oh. He's
living in his own filth. Just let himself right go. He is living in his own filth. When your wife is not, when you're married for a certain amount of time and then they go away for a couple of days, you turn into an animal.
Is that why he was using his own finger?
Yeah. He's like, Michelle's out of here. He'd eat things out of the carton. He was rubbing eggs all over his face.
Turned into Beast Boy.
Turned into Beast Boy. Exactly.
Sitting there with a big can of mayonnaise. A spoon.
Screaming at its side, yelling at
crying.
I'm an animal. And then when she calls, he turns back into a human for 5 minutes. "Hey, baby, I'm just sitting here.
The house is clean.
House is all clean. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
There is no problems. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. It's okay." Yeah. So I should have told him to take pictures of the house while she was gone.
Before and after?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I can only imagine what it looks like right now. The smells.
Mm-hmm.
The sights. That is horrible. So what else y'all talk about? What other book?
What do you got? You got any books that you want
to
talk about?
I'm still trying to finish the Marvel Untold Tales. I'm still reading that. It's taken me forever and a day.
It's a book, though.
Yeah, it's a book. It's taking me forever. Huh?
There's no pictures.
I know. That's what's taking me so long. I keep expecting some pictures, and I don't get any. I get mad.
I hear that everybody seems to be reading that except for me.
Well, it's fun. I mean, you know what? I think you would be interested in it because there are a lot of Jack Kirby talk in there and some chapters. Because you remember they do early chapter first, and then it goes all the way to the present. Well, I think it stops at the 2000. Like I think early on when they went bankrupt, I think it stops around that time when it went bankrupt with Bob Harris, and then now.
Because they got that other book about the bankruptcy, right?
Not by the same guy, is it?
No, it came out like several years ago. I can't remember
what it was called. Well, he talked to all the way through what? The Jim Shooter days, the bankruptcy up until maybe they stopped at like 2005 or something like that. But you get a lot of that Kirby talk of what happened and how
he created the entire Marvel Universe single-handedly. Yes,
all of that. All of that.
How they would laugh and roll around in their money.
I need to write a Jack Kirby book. That's what I need to do. It's like there wouldn't be any Marvel movies today if it wasn't for Jack Kirby.
And Stan Lee would tell on him.
Yeah.
Telling on him and stuff. Him and what was the other one? Who was the Cap guy? The other Captain America guy.
Joe Simon.
Yeah. They would like a lot of firings. They fired people a lot. I mean, they
it's like the new DC. It's Bob Harris. That's what it is. Wants to fire everybody.
Yeah, that's what they did. A lot of people lost their jobs quickly. Like they said, they would have you come in a room. I think Goodman. It was Goodwin. Goodwin.
She
was the owner of it in chief. And he would have Stan Lee, he would tell him he'd have to do the firings, and he would have to call him in this room, and everybody could see it when you go in the room, and you come out, and then he'd call the next one. And that was an all-day process. And then they would use, they had...
But you know, who's hire in the replace? They line somebody up, say, you're hired?
Well, they would keep, like, two or three people. And what they did with one of the first firings, like bunch first round, the firings were they would have all these writers come in and they would do all these comic stories and he would put them in a closet to hold them. And one day, you know, when they don't use them, and one day Goodman opened up the closet door and he saw all these pages and he was like, what is this? And he said, well, they're just stories that we, you know, for whatever reason, we didn't put it out. And he told him, why am I paying all these people for all this when we got this in here in the closet? So he made them fire more than half of his staff, and they started printing the
crap previous. That they decided not to publish.
Yeah, some of that stuff.
All the rejects.
All the rejected work. Yeah.
You'd be surprised, like some of that stuff that people swear, you know, that they loved so much and it was the greatest back then. It might have been one of those pages that were thrown away because they didn't like it. And that's why it is a scary business, man. I mean, it's you never knew when you came in if you were going to have a job when you came out.
Unless you were Jack Kirby, you'd always have a job.
Well, he ran from place to place. Like he went from DC to Marvel to DC, and
That's because he could crank out like 125 pages a month.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. He could go where he wanted to.
You see the numbers of like, there's some site that listed like the numbers for each month that he was working, like how many pages he did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Some of the months, God, it's amazing.
He did more pages in one month than most of these guys do an entire lifetime.
He did it. He did a lot of pages. He worked. Ditko, man, he was out there.
He still is.
Yeah,
I think he's further out there now.
Yeah, it got to the point now where he even stopped coming in the office. He wouldn't even be in the same room with Stan Lee. He would only he would come in, he would mail his stuff in, or you know, Jim Stan Lee would send it to him, and he would mail in his stuff, and then Stan Lee would put the words to whatever he drew. But he would not be in the same room with him. He refused to be in that room.
But he's still working with him.
Yeah, well, up until he was a fan of what is that author? Ayn Rand. Ditko became one of those followers of Ayn Rand's teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And he would put some of that would be in Spider-Man, like the anti-stat. You know how Spider-Man was anti-hippie? Like some of that stuff was kind of anti-hippie and anti, you know. A lot of the anti-sentiments. Yeah, anti-Keith. A lot of anti-sentiments that Ayn Rand had, he would follow it and try to bring that to his book. So the more he got into it, the more weirder he got. So it was pretty, pretty weird.
I need to explore more Ditko.
Yeah, he's a pretty weird guy. Pretty weird. Pretty weird. Oh, and then it was one guy, I can't remember the guy's name, who got drunk. They would have drinking parties. They would call them martini parties. And one guy lived in Queens. He was going home from one of their drinking parties and fell off a train and died. He was one of the artists that Stan Lee had hired. And they were going to do a whole bunch of stuff. Like Stan Lee had said that he was going to leave Marvel eventually and go off and do some work, independent work with this guy. That was his plan. And the guy died. He just fell off the train.
Had he done any work?
Yeah, he had worked for him before. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I had to go back in the book. Because that's the only problem with reading Marvel Comics, The Untold Story, is that they throw so many names. Because the amount of people that were coming in and out of the companies were ridiculous. You think it's crazy now how they go from DC to Marvel? No, that was nothing compared to how it was back then. Like, just in the same day they would leave, they would get fired from one company and go to the next one the same day. That's how crazy it was. So this, I can't remember exactly what he did. I gotta look it up and find it, but that guy, he worked on quite a couple of things before he passed. But it was just crazy. It just seemed like a really, I would be interested in going back and seeing some of that, but because it just seemed like a crazy time.
70s were crazy. Hippie masala everywhere.
Oh, yeah. A lot of hippies. A lot of hippie masala going on.
Well, there's Joe Manley. Is that it?
I think so. I think it was him. How'd you find that? That was magic.
You see, it's a comic guy working with Stan Lee got hit by a train.
A Marvel drunk fall off train Stan Lee.
Nice.
Now I'm going to see what he did.
I love the internet.
I know. Before the internet, I would have had to go to the library and look through the card catalogs.
Or read get Marvel some the
micro story. Microfiche. Fleece, whatever it's called.
Yeah, I would suggest people to check it out. I wish, the only thing I wish is when they do have stuff in the book that there was a way they could put some pictures of some of the people they're talking about with the names under it. So you can kind of get a your own Rolodex, a mental Rolodex when you are reading a chapter so you know who you were talking about. And they throw the names at you. Yeah, get on that. They need to redo that. Get on that. Whoever it is, the author of that book, go get on that. Fix it.
Second print.
Fix it. That means Keith can't buy it, but second print.
That's a weird thing. I can't have a second print. So I'm not. So I'm going to protest every comic coming out from that guy ever again.
I know. That is so weird. I was never like that even when I was younger. I never cared. I never cared about that. It wasn't a big deal. Like, second print. Was the pages look the same?
I could see if Keith was a collector. Like, he had the collector mentality, but he's not.
He doesn't. So,
yeah, it bothers me, but I have a collector mentality, so.
Bill, you're number one, man.
Yeah.
Only first printings.
But you only do number ones, right?
I bought a Todd the Ugliest Kid on Earth second printing. I was just as happy.
It's the same star. It's the same story. I don't get the difference.
If it were something I wanted to read, I wouldn't not buy it because it was a second printing.
Well, there are people that will not touch it at all, will not buy it.
Because it has the stink of a second printing on it.
Yeah.
Why do you care, Bill? You just read trades anyway.
Only first printing trades.
Oh, Jesus. It's a virus.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Crazy.
I read Grimm Fairy Tales Unleashed.
Is that new?
It's new, number 0. It's a crossover that's happening in all the Grimm Fairy Tales books. They're bringing monsters into Grimm Fairy Tales, like vampires, werewolves, and zombies. And
is that part of their gods thing?
The gods are going to play a part in this, and that's why I picked it up, because I do like that part of it, the universe. But it opens up with this being playing like some game. It's like some marble game with this woman, and you don't know who this woman is. Her name's Cindy. And she has some relationship to the vampires. And he's like, I'm coming back to Earth, and I'm going to screw up the Nexus, which Sella, who's the main character in Grimm Fairy Tales, protects the Nexus. She's the guardian of the Nexus. Mm-hmm. And it gives a flashback story about her and these vampire hunters. There's like several of them. Liesel Van Helsing, she's like a steampunk vampire. She looks pretty damn cool. Except I didn't get the first issue of the vampire series because the art just looked like crap inside. Which a lot of these, unlike Avatar, the covers for Grimm Fairy Tales look fucking awesome, and then sometimes you open them and they look very, very amateur. Like amateur hour.
Yeah, they got some really bad stuff.
Yeah. And then it's got this guy called Roman, who's a werewolf hunter, and Masumi, who's like hunts demons, and Elijah, who's like a zombie hunter, I think. And they're all working together as monster hunters. So that's what this story is going to be about. All these different factions of monsters fighting in the Grimm Fairy Tale universe.
Mm-hmm. It looks like there's a bunch of spin-offs.
Yeah, there's series. Hunters, Shadowlands, there's Vampires, the Internal, Demons, the Unseen, Werewolves, the Hunger, and Zombies, the Cursed. And they're like 3-issue to 5-issue arcs, but I'm only following the main thread. I'm only going to get the Unleashed. And they didn't have one about the gods, even though this 0-issue talks about the gods, which I like a lot, but I don't know.
How do zombies fit in? That's like a different genre than the rest.
Yeah. I don't know. They're monsters. They're dead.
They're not really monsters, though. I guess they could be. I don't know. That just seems like a whole different genre than
werewolves. Well, if you look at some horror stories, zombies are just vampires that are deprived.
That's true.
That's true.
That was a good book.
So, depends what you read. And usually werewolves don't like the vampires too much. And
well, Charles, you ever read a book by Charles Soule? He did the Moon Knight with David Finch a couple years ago.
I did read the Moon Knight with David Finch. I thought it was kind of okay.
But he did Charles Soule did vampires, but he took away the supernatural part of it. And Charlie Houston, and he took away the supernatural part of it and made it a virus. Mm-hmm. And his thing was, if you're a vampire and you don't get blood, it was a Joe Pitt character, and you don't get blood fast enough, you become a ghoul because you turn into a zombie.
Yeah, and Last Blood, that's what Last Blood was, where the vampires turn into zombies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Last Blood was good.
And so then
I had to get
but
it.
They did that in the Vertigo series too, didn't they? Wasn't that also the premise of one of that relaunch books with the zombies and the vampires in it? Oh, God, what can't I even think of the freaking name of it? I'm getting old.
Yeah,
that's why. And then Max Brooks has one coming out through Avatar, which is zombies and vampires. I think his is vampires are protecting people because they don't want... If all the people turn into zombies, then the vampires will die because there will be no blood.
Yeah, it's their food. It's their food source.
Mm-hmm.
So they're protecting their food.
Man, I can't think of that fucking Vertigo series that just came out.
Just came out? I should think of it.
Took place in the 40s in London or something. I don't know.
Oh, Deadwardians?
Deadwardians, thank you.
I didn't finish that, and I should have, but I'm gonna buy some of those. I'm gonna pick them up digitally because they're cheaper now, so I can catch up on those the mini. Because I totally forgot about it after issue 5. I don't know what happened and I just stopped.
How many was there?
I think it was an 8 issue mini or something like that. I think it was an 8 issue mini. So all I got to do is just pick up the last.
You just need to read the ending.
Yeah, pretty much. Just read the last 3 or 4. See, that's what I like about everyone else and not Marvel, is that they all go down $1 after like 30 days or something like that, 20 days.
Does DC?
Yeah. Everything goes on $1. Everything that's $2.99 is $1. I mean, it's $2. $1.99.
Hmm.
I saw. I caught up on some of. I read some of the. What was the name of that group that you? The Razor.
Ravengers.
Ravengers. Yeah, I've read. I wanted to read some more of those. Finish it since it was ended, so I don't have to worry about having to buy a whole bunch of books. I just.
I really liked that book. It felt more like the Teen Titans than the Teen Titans.
It was more enjoyable than Teen Titans to me by Scott Lemdell right now. It just feels off. That I don't know.
Are you guys reading Todd, the Ugliest Kid on Earth?
Of course. I'm behind, but yes.
Oh, it's so good. I love that book. They delve more into the murder, you know, mm-hmm. the guy that actually did the murder. And then Todd is in prison, and they focus a lot on the parents, and they're
that cop is like Keith.
They're whacked out. Yeah,
he keeps his carnal, like, he's so pent up because he can't. He's a cop and he's supposed to be respected.
You know what? If they made a movie about this, Keith Knudsen could play it. Like, he could.
Yes.
He could nail that role with, like, not even fucking trying.
Because he won't watch. He won't remit nothing about porn.
He changed subjects too, like Keith Knudsen.
Yes.
That is what really reminds me of him. It's like they'll like bring up a topic like this isn't right or whatever, and he just changed the subject.
Now he called me and Mike. He'll call us deviants for our when we put up pictures, like when we share something, a picture or something with a sexy cosplayer or whatnot. And he's like, "Oh, like deviants! How dare you?
Look at this!
Look at this!"
But I'll play Dungeons and Dragons and. Yes. Fuck a troll.
he's on webcam showing his penis. Because he rolled a die. He's going to kill us when he listens. He's going to get so mad.
he cusses at his iPod. I know.
He's going to be so mad. He was so mad at you, Bill. He was so mad at you.
So mad at you.
And then he started us off because that's all we needed. He did that all night. He was so mad.
He's mad.
He got so mad.
Yeah, I think next time he sees you, Bill,
Yeah, he's gonna come after you. I wouldn't stand too close to him.
I would not go in the elevator with him.
No.
He's gonna fart on you.
He's gonna fart on you full blast.
He didn't like that episode of Geek Brunch at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
I'll have to roll my dice. Bring up my protective shield.
You won't shoot at me. Roll the die.
You missed.
So yep. I think this guy that writes Todd, the ugliest kid on earth, he has some link to what's his name? God dang it, Machete.
Oh yeah. I interviewed him.
What is the link?
He was on Comic Roadshow.
Is this guy from prison? Did he write this from prison or what?
He did a show. There's a show that's on TNT. What are those channels? Where it's he's a TV guy. He does a show where it's based on lockup. It's based on when you get arrested, when you first get arrested.
Yeah, because I noticed in the back of it, he has like all that jail jargon.
Yep. So you get to see like most of the stuff is when you get drunk or disorderly conduct or get into a fight and stuff like that. Most of the show shows that, like, you know, when you're in the holding cell until you sober up.
And then what's his involvement in that?
Well, he's one of the producers of it. He works on the show.
I produce.
He's one of the people that works on the show.
Oh, jail? Is that it?
What did Danny Trejo have to do with the link, though?
The guy that was like a mentor to the actor. There's an actor. He was in the movie. What's the Quentin Tarantino movie when they where it's a whole bunch of them? It's an early film that he did, Quentin Tarantino, where they all have to dress
Reservoir
up.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yes, Reservoir Dogs. One of the actors in Reservoir Dogs is somebody who actually did time in prison.
Oh, okay.
And then he wrote books.
Danny Trejo was in prison too at one time.
Right. So he met Danny Trejo while he was in prison and kind of became like a mentor to him. And they wrote, and they kind of said that they were going to do in Todd, the ugliest kid on earth. One of the characters is kind of based on that guy. So when they met him at the San Diego somewhere, he told Danny Trejo that, hey, there, we did a thing on, you know, this particular, on your friend. Because they wound up being really good friends. And he loved it so much that he took pictures with them and the whole thing. So that was how that connection went.
I saw the picture of him in one of the comics, and I didn't know what the book was. Yeah.
And it's in the first one that there's in the back matter. You see a picture of Danny Trejo holding the comic.
But it is so twisted. It's like the mom is having sex with people just so she could get money to get her son out of prison, and the dad is.
Well, not just to do that. It's, part of it was she's needy.
Yeah, she's needy. And then the dad is stalking a soap opera star. Mm-hmm. It's messed up, man. It's really messed up.
Yeah, they're two people totally that should not be parents.
Totally enjoyable, man.
Yeah, it is. It plays on all those different things in society. Like, you know, when you talk to him, when Ken he's funny, but when you talk to him and there's things that happen where they tell you you're supposed to have kids. Everybody's supposed to have kids. You're supposed to have a family. You're supposed to have kids. Even if you're not equipped to deal with having kids, which these two people are not at all equipped to have children. And that's kind of what the jokes come from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just funny. I know that it offends because it's supposed to.
It's a black comedy is what it is.
It's supposed to.
Because there's elements of horror and murder, mm-hmm. And man, Keith would play that cop so good.
I know he would. Is he reading?
He played Jesus Christ, but he could play that guy. Like, he could nail that cop. Like,
Keith, does he read this?
I don't think he does. I don't think he reads anything but the DC comic books he hates.
And the IDW.
Yeah.
And
Dungeons and Dragons books.
Well, the porn. You talk about the porn, right?
Yeah, the fantasy porn.
Okay. That's what he reads.
Sex with fairies.
Anything with Drizzt is sex.
Yeah, anything with Drizzt in it, he reads it. Just don't roll 11.
See, I got caught up on Avengers Arena. That wasn't. I love that book. I thought 1 and 2 were like so damn awesome, and then it kind of like petered for me, and then it got better when they had Arcade's origin. Like why he's so twisted now, like more murderous and.
Oh, he's such a fuck up. Like,
I know that they were making fun of him, and
he's always been a fuck up, and I love it.
He got to that point though where he said, "Fuck it, I'm quitting."
Mm-hmm. Like, well, that girl,
he told his assistant, he's like, "Here's some money, go do this. The island's fucking yours."
She saved him. She was the one that gave him the suggestion. If it wasn't for her, he wouldn't have.
Yeah, he was.
He wouldn't have done it.
Headed,
and then he tries to kill her.
Oh.
And then the little bastard tries to kill her anyway. He's like, I can't have it. I mean, you're like, you did great things for me, but I can't have you be alive. Like, I can't have you know me. I can't have you know that I'm this vulnerable. I was ever this vulnerable. He is so caught up in opinion, you know, like in everybody's opinion of him, that if you see him in a weakened state, he kills his minions. He kills everybody who's a system, because they know too much about him. If he gets too close to women, anyone he gets too close to that sees the real him, he has a need that he has to kill them.
Because he can't. He kills see his assistants.
Mm-hmm.
Cuz nobody else will want to be with them. None of the villains that he throws those parties and has all this great food, and all they could do is make fun of him.
When he put that phone, like he put this thing on, they set it up where he could hear everyone in the room, and he's thinking he's going to hear how great he is. Every year he does a party with the villains, and he's thinking he's going to hear how great he is. And all he hears is, oh, this guy's just, oh, we got to deal with him again. He's such a fuck up. We hate him.
Yeah.
And they're just making fun of him the entire thing. And so he's hearing all of that in his phone, in his Bluetooth. And he's all embarrassed and angry and stuff.
I like that group of characters that I didn't know much about, like Apex, Kid Anachronism, Britain. Bloodstone, Britain. Yeah, Kid Britain, Nara.
Mm-hmm.
Kid Britain was an asshole, though. He's like, he was a total ass.
Total. He had no redemption.
Yeah.
No redemption.
Bloodstone seems really interesting to me, like. And Anachronism was a real fat kid that turns into a Neanderthal, essentially.
Yeah.
But he took off Kid Britain's head.
Well, he didn't realize. He thought, because Kid Britain's power with Captain Britain, like all the Captain Britains of every dimension, is built on confidence. He didn't know that. So if you feel very confident about something, you're totally powerful. You're strong. You're invulnerable. But if somebody makes you doubt yourself, you get weakened.
And that's why they showed his bars. Like, you could see like their power levels during the game. I mean, during
that the girl he was messing with has been manipulating him and kind of chipping away at it. Yeah, Apex chipping away at his confidence.
Like, but now she's a fucking dude.
Yeah!
What the fuck?
I've had a nickel for every time that happened.
So,
never
dude.
Drink too much at a party.
Yeah, but it's really good book. It's entertaining.
Yeah, it's different characters. It's not linked to anything. If you don't want to read something that's connected to 50 million other books.
Yeah, and all these characters have been around, like Sentinel, mm-hmm. you know, they've been around the Marvel Universe. The Runaways, the X-23's group, Avengers Academy.
Chase.
I don't think the Captain Britain group is kind of new for this, right? I've never seen those guys before.
I don't know. No, I think it was done for this. But they said it, I mean, it's the easy thing to add them because they said it, they pretty much set it up as Captain Britain has a school for training them for all the different Captain Britons in all the different dimensions.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to just say, all right, he's from dimension, blah, blah, blah. And that's what they did. But it's fascinating, though. It's about the human condition.
It's the human condition on an island.
Yeah, on an island.
So Bill, what else you got?
What else do I have? Here, we'll do this one. I read Polarity Number One.
What is that? Which
you probably never even heard of. It's from Boom Studios. This was one I accidentally ordered.
You saw a number one and you just had to grab it.
Yeah, I think I added it to my DCBS cart because it was number one, and then I forgot to pay attention to it and ended up ordering it. Not that that's a bad thing. It was just not an intentional thing. I got sucked in by the number one, the glowing number one on the cover.
Shame on.
Drew me in. Now, this was written by Max Bemis,
mm-hmm.
who's in some band.
I never heard of him.
It didn't say at the back what band he's in. Let me look at the Twitters here. Nah, he's in some band, a popular band.
Let's not be that popular.
I think it's a popular band. Quick, do a search.
No, I think I remember, and it was a weird band I never heard of.
I'm going to look it up. Bemis.
Max Bemis Rock.
He's associated with Say Super Anything, Groovy. Two Tongues, Forgive Durden.
Say Anything. Max Bemis and the Paper. Okay.
Yeah, that's the band, Say Anything.
But he has Two Tongues and Forgive. His wiki says he's part of a bunch of different.
The 13th Elevator band. No, I'm just kidding.
He was born on April 6th. I was born on April 7th. We were both Aries.
Fascinating. So, and art is by George or Jorge Kaleo. Kaleo.
Say it again.
George or Jorge Kaleo. Jorge Kaleo.
Spell it.
Colors by Felipe Sobrero. Letters by Steve Vandez.
It's Steve Wands. Come
Steve
on.
Wands. So this is it's okay. About a guy who he's an artist. So it starts out where he walks out on the street and everyone's staring at him.
Mm-hmm.
And they show him walking down the street and he has no pants on.
Wait a minute.
And then he gets hit by a car.
Oh.
And then it jumps to 2 years later when he's getting out of the hospital. And apparently he's bipolar and he has these episodes. And he's an artist. And it goes into... It's him at an art showing, so they're displaying his art. And he's looking at all the people there, and it gets into talking about hipsters and how much hipsters suck and everything you want to know about hipsters.
All right, I'm in this. Anti-hipster, let's go.
Which is interesting. It was interesting just reading about hipsters, study of hipsters.
But
male and female hipsters.
Did you like it? Was it a surprise? Like, I'm going to want to read this.
I did like it. The only criticism I would have is something that's common to writers' first books, which is it's a little word heavy.
I'm buying first issue right now. I'm going to try it.
It seems like a problem that a lot of first books people bring out. I think you have to get used to the fact that in comics, you can let the art do some of the talking.
Mm-hmm. Info dump. It's new. I mean, it's new. He's a new writer.
It's a new medium for him. Yeah. But it was good. And the art, I really like the art a lot.
I looked him up. I'm looking at this stuff, and it's really good. He did a, he even did a Bane. That was off. It was incredible.
The artist?
Yeah. He has a Tumblr.
Okay.
Where you can see his art. And here, look at this Tumblr. It's amazing.
His art kind of reminds me a little bit of what's that dude's name? The guy who does Chew. Guillory.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, but more not as cartoony. Like a more realistic version of that. So the one thing that was good about this is he packs a lot of story into one issue. It's definitely not decompressed in any way, shape, or form. So it follows this dude, and then so this dude, people are telling him, you know, or his girlfriend really tells him, your art sucks now, you were better when you were, because he gets on medication, he gets his bipolar stuff under control, but his art takes a hit, so he says, screw this, I was better when I was bipolar, so he stops taking his medicine, and he starts drinking, and he goes off the deep end, and that's kind of where the story is going to go from there. But it was good, I liked it a lot, and the art is really good. Good cool. stuff, and you get to learn about hipsters.
Yeah, you know I want to do that.
That sounds like a Keith book.
Yeah, I think he would love this book.
Slice of life.
It's just, yeah.
Slice of life.
Now he's going to pick up Todd so he can see what guy we're telling him he could play.
Let's see, who could Keith play in this book?
The guy without the pants?
Yeah, the guy without the pants. No brainer.
He doesn't wear pants usually.
No, not at all.
Well, I have one discussion point I wanted to ask Daryl, because I don't know. I read Uncanny Avengers, and I heard there was controversy there. What was your take on that? Because you said you didn't like it one bit.
No, I didn't say I didn't like it. I said I liked it. Who said I didn't like it?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you said it. Maybe it was somebody else.
It was somebody else. I liked it. Basically, it was.
It's Havoc making the same speech that the mutants have been making forever. He's saying, I want to be called, what's his name? What is his first name? Alex, instead of be called Mutant.
Well, it's kind of the anti that. Well, it's anti what the mutants have been saying, because all along, X-Men have been, Xavier's been the guy that wants to get along with the human race. And then, but Magneto has been the guy who's been more pro-mutant, meaning that not only should I be able to say I'm a mutant and be treated right, I'm even a little better than you because I'm mutant. Like, that's been his thing. And then everybody else has kind of been in the middle. Either you're extreme or you're not. So Scott has been pretty much through life. He started out as being more, let's just get along. And try to pass as human and just get along, and like Xavier, and protect mutants. He always wanted to protect mutants, but let's just...
Now he's more like Magneto.
Yeah, well, all the bad things that happened. I mean, a lot of bad stuff had the mutants. Scarlet Witch taken away, killing the mutant gene, and, you know, all the kind of crazy stuff that's been happening. So it kind of changed him. It kind of definitely changed him. So now you have Alex, who is very... He said this speech about, don't call me mutant, just call me human. You know? And that is a talk that we've had in the black community for a long time. I mean, other communities too, Hispanic, Asian. You know, there's been a thing of, I'm black. Are you black first and human second? Or are you human first and black second? And then you've had people that have been, you know, who have said, don't call me black, just call me my name. Because I don't represent my entire race.
But that speech there caused like a little bit of an internet flurry. Well, and then actually Rick Remender got involved in it, right?
Well, some people called him racist for it. Some people were saying that it's not right for, are you saying it as a representation of race, period, or even gender? Or, you know, like, and he's saying, this is what Alex is feeling. This is not a thing of if it's right or wrong or whatever. This is just Alex, this character Alex is saying this about him. And as a writer, you should be able to write the character that you want to write and not be linked to do you feel this way or not. That's like saying if you're a Democrat and you write a character who's a Republican and you put out a pro-Republican thing, he says something pro-Republican and you get called, get called names by other Democrats because your character said that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right, because then you can't write. That means you can't do anything. You wouldn't be able to write anything if you got blamed for shit like that.
You know where I think I heard that you felt the opposite? And I might have heard it wrong, but I could have sworn I was listening to 11 O'Clock Comics and Jason Wood mentioned your name.
Jason heard us talk about it on No Apologies, but I don't think he heard it the whole show yet, but he had just heard some. And he thought that I was one of the ones who disagreed, because it was me and Alan. Alan was on that show too when we were talking about it, and we liked that part because I like the X-Men has kind of gotten away from the way that it's been portrayed as being mutants have kind of gone for race or, you know, a different orientation, anything that makes you that people put you as a minority. That's what X-Men have been built on, that issue of being made to feel like.
And what they were kind of created to address, I thought.
Right. And then they kind of, as the years went by, they got more away from that. And it's kind of gotten more into X-Men being superheroes. And now you have.
So I'm not crazy. I did hear it somewhere.
Yeah, you did hear it. Did hear that. Yeah.
I knew I heard it somewhere.
Yeah, but I like it. I like this. Like,
But when Jason had mentioned it in 11 O'Clock, he made it sound the other way. Like, oh, that's okay. Why.
Stop changing your tune, Daryl. We know the truth.
We need to know the truth.
I'm backtracking.
Just lie to us like Keith.
I rolled the die, and I'm not lying.
I die rolled doesn't six, lie. And I used my finger. Oh no, we're gonna lose it in 5, 4, 3, 2. We just lost Daryl. I'm back.
Hello.
Hello?
Well, that was a Skype telling us F you.
Sure did. It said I'm a mutant. I'm a mutant, damn you.
I like Uncanny Avengers a lot more than the Avengers proper.
I like them both, but I can understand more people liking one more than the other.
I'm barely hanging on to Avengers. Like,
it's a very slow story.
I'm considering dropping it, but there's instances of greatness that are keeping me around. There's some voice in my head said, hold on, don't let it go.
When I talked to him, he actually said that. He said to the people, he said, I understand the problem. He said, I know everybody is not going to like my storytelling of this, but it's the way that I have it in my head that I want to tell this story. It's pretty much an uphill telling of the story, uphill. He's walking uphill. He's almost at the top.
So he's like, F you, I'm doing it my way.
He got to do it his way. He wants to do it his way. So when he gets to the top and he comes racing down, that's when you're going to love
it. I also read that book, Rogues. Did you see that one, Bill?
Yeah, I have it. I have not read it yet.
I found it quite entertaining. It's about a drunk barbarian, or a thief, actually, and a female thief that like to party and tell stories. And
oh, you have my attention.
And there's lots of titties.
Oh, you really got my
attention. There's towers with orgies in there.
Who publishes this?
It's Amigo Press, and the art is by Juan Jose Ripe, which is awesome. El Torres is the writer. He wrote some other books for Image.
Nancy from Hell.
Yeah, he wrote both editions of Nancy from Hell, and he's done this. I read the back matter in here, and it sounds like this story started in another anthology. And
you know, it wasn't an anthology. There was issues of this before. It was really interesting, but I did read the back matter.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not sure why I read the back matter, but first, but no, I do know why. Because actually, at that con I went to a few weeks ago, Dan Con, I actually picked up Rogues number one, Ashcan.
Oh,
it was like an earlier version of this story. Because he said like this is like his second or third time doing this.
Yeah. It sounds like Ripe is only going to do this one issue, though.
Yeah, I think he's just on for the first
time. Rip. Which is a damn shame, because his art in this book is really good. Daryl would like the art.
I'm going to have to find this book, then. Maybe at Heroes. I'll see if I can find it when we're at Heroes.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find it. So you stay out of your feet.
But it's got a sense of humor to it, too. Like, They're thieves that like to tell stories and drink, and they don't. It seems like they don't have sex with each other, but they have sex with other people like a lot.
They're like a family.
And then there's a curse. There's a curse. This guy curses them with these chickens, so like chickens show up everywhere, and it's got an interesting twist to it. And
no sheep.
But I thought it was pretty good. It's the first Amigo Comics one that I tried, and I think I'm trying another one.
I think that was their first.
Stick with it. Yeah.
Then they have Westwood Witches coming out next, I think.
Yeah, I got that one too. I hope that whoever takes over the art chores is similar because of the nature of this book.
It's hard to get similar to him, though.
Well, I mean, similar in detail. He's a lot of the Avatar guys would fall into that.
Yeah.
Any other books you guys want to talk about?
I've been reading Valiant.
Oh.
Not only just one. I'm actually reading all seven titles.
Yes, and, am I.
I'm doing the. I'm up to the Valiant, the Harbinger Wars, which has been great.
Are you doing that one digitally?
I buy the DCBS bundle for it, so I've been reading it print, all print. They're the only company left that's still doing the bundles right now. Marvel just ended theirs on Comixology for this month.
Yeah, I hope they keep doing it, because it's easy to buy.
It sure is.
And there's only 6 or 7 books, so.
And it makes you catch up with everything. Like, it makes it easier to catch up, to make sure you stay in touch with all the books.
Yeah, you know? they're all good. I just read Ninjak, the hardcover that they published. It was awesome.
The old school one?
Yeah, it was my second time through, and I didn't remember his origin.
Oh, it's coming.
And his origin was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, he was actually going to be his father just decided to breed with this good-looking woman so they could make a super soldier. And they kept injecting her while she was pregnant.
Nice.
And that guy, Neville, who's the guy in the wheelchair that's Bloodshot, he was doing the same thing with his wife, And his daughter Julian is the same, has the same injections. And I was like, holy crap, I forgot about that. But yeah, there's some good ass stories in there.
It's good stuff, man.
And Dr. Silk is like, is an awesome villain because he's just deteriorating, man. He's in his wheelchair. He looks like a vegetable, and he decides to go after the Exo Man of War armor. I really like. I hope Ninjak gets the next ongoing title. If it's not him,
well, they're working
then,
on that.
Eternal Warrior.
They're working on both.
That'll be great.
You figure if they're publishing the old stuff, then they're gonna eventually get around to them.
I hope they do the Quantum and Woody hardcover because they're launching the new series.
They got to.
I know they have them available digitally now.
Yeah.
But I sure like the hardcover because got my little collection of hardcovers here.
That was the one Valiant book I never read back in the day.
Quantum and Woody.
Yeah.
Did you drop off when Acclaim took over?
Yeah.
Because I like the Acclaim books. They did some good stuff with Shadow Man. They did.
Yeah.
Quantum and Woody was great. The Troublemakers, that was a fun book. Like, if you like the Runaways and stuff like that. They had the Trinity Angels by McGuire, which if you like McGuire art, you know, he still had the same expressions in there. So
a lot of people got their start.
Yeah, They had some good books, and Fabian Nicieza was like in charge of the Acclaim. You know, Acclaim always gets shit on, but their books weren't bad.
The Shadow Man was being done like, who's doing that? I can't remember now. Like Ashley Wood or something.
Yeah, Ashley. It was really dark. It became a comic called Deadlands. It went fucking crazy, and.
Yeah, pick those up from the cheap bins.
It only lasted like two issues. You can only find, they're like rare books. They're hard to find, actually. I'm surprised you found it. The Deadlands.
I don't think I have those,
because they're like.
I don't know if I have those. I have some of the Shadow Men.
The thing that was interesting about the Deadlands is that was like right after they released the Shadow Man video game, and that they were becoming bankrupt at the time. So the Deadlands book print run was like so freaking low, like because they were heading towards getting bankrupt. And that's when Unity 2000 came out, and they only released one issue written by Jim Shooter. And then bang, it went, the carpet was pulled from underneath them. And then we didn't see the light of day until they started coming out with the hardcovers a couple of years ago. But the thing that's great about Valiant is they're changing things, they're tweaking things, but they're still true to the material, like the thing that made the books great.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of quality to them. Like, I triple dip on the Valiants. I get the trades too, and the trades are put together really nice. They're really nice trades.
Yeah, well, I like that they match the old Valiant trades. Like they did them in the same style.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of their hardcovers, though. God, I love their hardcovers. Because I am not a fan of the glossy paper. Mm. And their paper quality is like good paper. It's not that glossy shit. It's paper.
I'm so anti-trades now.
It's why?
Because it takes up space. It's just, I just don't want it anymore. I want to put everything inside of my iPad.
You want it in you.
I want it in me. I so want it in me.
Daryl would be the first to plug himself into the Matrix.
I would. I want all the comics to be implanted inside of me.
What do you mean it has to go in my ass? I don't care. Plug it.
I don't care. Let me roll it. Eight. Put it in my ass.
So where do you want it? Let me see. Eight. Oh,
goes in my ass.
Snake eye.
Eight in my ass. Roll it.
Man, Keith is gonna stop here listening to this podcast.
Yeah, he's gonna stop. He's so mad.
He's gonna get his
fucking
His resignation letter.
And next time he has to roll a five and take his pants off, he's going to be like, "Go, motherfucker!"
As he's unbuckling his pants, he's going to think of you guys.
Yeah, and not in a good way anymore.
Yes, he does that a lot now.
He's yeah.
Getting angrier.
He does. He got so mad. He had to change his movie. He didn't like his movie anymore. He got so mad.
That was great. He got so fucking mad.
That's awesome.
Because I turned it around. He picked a documentary that he wanted. And he's like, "Oh fuck, I can't pick another documentary." So he picked one that I already had in my queue, and I said, "Yeah, I selected that one because it had lots of titties." And then he got all upset, and he's like, "I don't want to pick that movie anymore. I don't want to pick that movie anymore. And you can't change it." And then he goes on the
fought with us too.
And he posts his new movie.
All night he was fighting. All night. He said, "Well, for extra credit,
you could go watch.
You could read. You know, fuck, are we not reading? There's no extra credit. We don't get nothing for this."
It's like a homework assignment for extra credit.
What stupid do you think we are?
Gonna give you for extra credit. Instead of getting 100, you're gonna get 110 points.
Extra credit.
You get to roll the dice twice.
Right. Well, you not get to roll a 20-sided die.
If I get extra credit, is that what you said?
That's when he brings the die out of his little pouch.
I'm gonna pick this movie for the next time, and I was like, "You can't do that; it expires."
Then he got mad again. He said, "And he blamed Mike for it." He said, "Mike, you motherfucker, you."
So I'm not Netflix. I didn't expire that fucking movie.
I'm blaming Mike. He didn't do anything. He didn't have anything to do with it.
It's all because I picked the wrong movie. It threw his
you
whole.
Could have not told him, and we just would have had it expire. He wouldn't have known. Fuck! 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 Oh, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing.
Any other books you guys want to mention, or you want to jump to some TV?
I got one more.
Okay.
I read Jupiter's Legacy.
I read that.
The new Mark Miller book.
Mm-hmm. Did very well.
It did super well.
Well, you know what he did, right?
He didn't release it to digital.
Yeah, and he made the retailers very happy. He, you know, by doing that, you encourage the retailers to order more than they would usually order.
So I wonder how much that hurt his digital business, though.
Doesn't matter.
I wonder if it balanced.
I don't know, because people like me who could wait, I only got it because it was on DCBS. But there are plenty of people who don't buy books every day, you know, like every week, like we all do for the most part. And they can wait. They can wait.
Who are these?
They don't buy stuff. Micah, he doesn't buy stuff every week. He gets it as the deals come in. Yeah, we're the insane people. Me and Mike, me and you are the insane people that try to read 50 comics a week.
Here's what it was the number 3 comic though.
Mm-hmm.
For that, is it month or week?
Probably a month.
Yeah, that's huge. Third.
Mm-hmm.
That's big for an Image comic at all.
It's probably though because of the name and like exactly what Daryl said, the retailers say we want more of this. We want
more.
Yeah,
you tell a retailer I'm going to put out my book only with you guys first. 3 months. For 3 months, I will not allow my book to go digital, so you guys can have it. That encourages all those retailers. Especially, there's a lot of retailers who hate digital. And automatically they're like, "Well, fuck that. I'm going to order another 20, 30 copies for my store."
Like Larry's Comics. He's one of those guys.
Oh, so you think they're ordering it just out of spite?
Yes.
Larry's Salt. Comics probably ordered like 500 copies because he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah. He probably did. I bet you he did. He probably put all of it all over the walls. Buy it. Like, fuck digital. Fuck.
So tell us about it, Bill.
It is about... Well, it starts out in the past where this guy and his brother and some of his friends are trying to find this island that he had these dreams about. And they eventually find the island, and then it jumps to the future. Like, I don't know how many years, 50 years into the future, where these kids with superpowers are big celebrities in the world. And they are children of these guys who are on this boat. And there are superheroes now in society. And it looks like the story is going to be about the difference between the parents' generation of heroes who are all about, you know, upholding the American values and fighting for the country, and the kids who basically just want to party and be rock stars and superstars in the society and drink and party all the time.
And do coke.
Do lots of drugs and sleep with lots of women.
Roll the die.
And the art, of course, is awesome because it's Frank Whiteley, so...
I'd love it if, like, Avengers Arena said, he comes and said, roll the die!
As he's taking his pants off, he starts to unbuckle his pants.
I would take a picture of that so fast and send it to Keith. Roll the die!
You know what? I'm going to use whatever abilities I can with every comic book person that I could think of to try to implant one thing, Inception, into their minds to do it in one page.
Roll the die?
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to encourage everybody. We're going to get somebody to do it. Well, at least one person. Where's Robert Atkins? Where is he?
Robert will try to roll the die.
Roll the die.
If you can draw a guy with no pants and he's saying, roll the die.
Roll the die.
That would be awesome.
So you're gonna enjoy that book and buy the trade then, right? Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was enjoyable.
Are you a fan of Mark Millar or not really?
Hit and miss.
Millar, sorry. I keep calling him Millar because of the spelling, but
I'm hit and miss.
I usually like it. I'm more like a 80 percentile gonna enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on what it is, because I kind of fell off of the recent one, but I'm gonna read it. But Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Millar used to be the guy that I would, if he come out with something, I'd read it right away. But now he's the guy that I'm going to definitely read it. It's just that I'll take my time and I'll read it eventually. And I usually still enjoy it. So.
You know what book surprised me? And I'm gonna say it's my favorite X-Men title is The Cable and the X-Force.
I love that book. Absolutely love that book.
The art and the story are just so fucking awesome. Like, I don't know. The banter between Forge and Dr. Nemesis is so great. It's like you and Keith.
Yeah, it is.
There's just so much going on there, like with Hope and Cable, and it's good. Very, very entertaining read.
Oh, I love it, man. It's the same guy doing Avengers Arena. It doesn't feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to say, I constantly forget that it's the same writer for those books. When I read them,
Dennis Hopeless, he's doing pretty damn good stuff.
He's a good chameleon because you don't feel like you're reading the same thing over and over again.
Yeah,
stuff.
That's my favorite X-Men book. That's
one of mine.
I enjoy that one a lot. I think, but I'm a I have a bias towards Cable. I don't know why, but I've always liked him.
You're not the only one.
It's like, he's got to be like one of my favorite X-Men. Or I don't even know if he's, you could consider him. He was an X-Men at one point.
He was. He was officially an X-Men. Yeah. He was during Claremont. When Claremont came back, he was officially an X-Men for a little bit with his staff. He had his Psy staff with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on there with his mother, Jean Grey. And he was an X-Men. He counts. He absolutely counts. Some good shit, man.
The other book that I just want to mention real quick, Helheim is pretty good. That's like a barbarian one. And then
Colin Bunn, right?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. from Oni. And
read The Six Gun, too. That's a good book. That's a good title.
I never got into that book.
Yeah, I never tried it, and I feel like I'm so far behind that I might get a trade at some point.
I'm just going to wait for the movie, for the TV show. What are they doing?
It's on NBC. It'll be a TV show.
TV show. I'll wait for the TV show.
Yeah, but it's still NBC, man. You're not going to get the real good stuff out of it for just TV show. You always have to cut shit. You know, all the good shit. No, you can't have that. You can't show that on TV. And then,
it's not that out there or risque, is it?
Well, it's a mix of horror. It's not like it's sex in it, but it's a mix of horror in it and very violent.
Yeah, they don't roll die in that series.
No, they don't roll die. Mm.
They allow violence on TV, though.
Yeah, it seems like they're allowing more and more of it. You could just watch the news and see more violence. Freak. And the other, I really am following this Legend of the Shadow Clan, which was one of those dollar 10 for 10. That really panned out for me. Like, that's my favorite Aspen book. It's so cool. It's like a family of assassins that didn't know they were assassins, but their legacy has embedded these awesome abilities upon them. And
wasn't the first one they just started getting attacked and they didn't know why?
Yeah, if I remember the first one, the father got attacked in the building.
Yeah.
And the kid was just showing his abilities in high school, and they barely touched on the little one and the daughter. But as the series progresses, you get a lot of focus on all the different members of the family. It's really cool. Like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time to be reading comics.
It sure the hell is.
It's a lot of good shit out there.
I know, like the last couple of years, last few years, man, it's just crazy the amount of good stuff that's coming out now.
Mm-hmm. Different shit, not the same.
Only in comics can you see a miniature Jesus holding up a foot.
That's true. I don't remember seeing a miniature Jesus
jumping off a cross and almost get stepped on by the preacher. Or he tries to step on him.
I want to see what this little miniature Jesus can do.
Yeah, so do I.
I have to check this miniature Jesus thing. I don't know about this miniature Jesus.
All right. Any TV you guys want to mention? I don't think I watch TV anymore.
I'm behind on a lot, but I've watched some good... I started watching Defiance, which I like. I'm Siffy. I'm enjoying that tremendously. Persons of Interest is my favorite show on TV on NBC. I absolutely love that show.
I still have never seen that show.
It's a show that I thought it could get caught up in the same thing happening every episode, and I thought it would be, and it totally isn't.
What is the premise of that show? Is that the like they're terrorists or something, or?
They built a program, this computer, and it's a program which kind of exists in a way where it monitors everywhere, you know, monitors people's signals, cameras, all types of stuff for buzzwords. They do have something that does buzzwords. It puts those buzzwords together, and it basically can alert the United States to any form of terrorist attacks. Like, it puts it together that there's a probability that there's something about to happen somewhere. So, the guy that did it, it was two guys that did this. There's another thing that goes along with the machine is, because it's monitoring all these things, it also can tell when things are going to happen to other people. Not terrorist attacks, but when people are just likely to be killed because of whatever. You know, there's a probability of it. And, of course, the government can't watch everybody and save every person. So they only care about the terrorist stuff that's going to happen. So he can't deal with knowing that these people are going to get killed and not be able to do something about it. So he comes in contact with this ex CIA guy who basically was set up by his people and thought dead. They thought he was dead, and he basically was living on the streets as a homeless guy. He lost the woman he loved. He felt totally disconnected and had no direction. So he pretty much hooks up with the guy, gives him a purpose. He says, you can work with me and we can help people. You know, he doesn't want to kill and do all this other stuff anymore. So he's like, instead of killing, you could use your skills to help people and prevent them from being killed. And that's what they do. They get a number from the computer. They get a list of people and they get a number, and the number lists a person who is very close to something happening where they either get killed or they're close to being killed, and their job is to come in and try to prevent it from happening.
Is it an ongoing theme, or is it like a show to show, like Law and Order or something?
It's an ongoing theme, because in the background, the backdrop of it is you get history of both of all the characters, because it's them two, and then there's two cops that kind of they cross paths with, and first the cops are looking for them because they've committed, you know, like you have this masked guy who running around shooting bad guys and saving people, but they just think they're criminals. So when they get hooked up with them and they find out kind of what's going on, they wind up becoming allies because they've helped them throughout the journey. So now they have two cops that are helping them, and you, every couple of episodes, you get what's going on in the present, the person that they're helping, and then you get some flashbacks of something that happened in their past. So you kind of get more each episode. You get a little bit more about each of the characters and things that have happened to them to put them in the position of where they are now. So it's really good. It's interesting. It's fun. It's got action in it.
Who does the guy from Lost play?
He plays the maker. He is the one that built this machine.
Oh, okay, so he's a good guy?
Yeah, he's actually, it's hard to believe after watching Lost all those years with him being a psychopath. It's hard to believe that he is the good guy of the story.
And was the second season?
Yeah, I think it is the second season.
Are you watching this like week to week, or are you watching this?
Yeah, I DVR it. So okay. I watch it. I have a bunch of stuff in my DVR, but this show, I like it so much that I wind up jumping to watch it every week instead of letting it pile up like I do some for certain other shows. So it's pretty good. It's a good show.
I watched the last step. Well, it's getting close to the last episode of The Office.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Strange.
It seems like the marriage is staying intact again.
Oh, they're back. I knew they weren't going to break them up.
Yeah, so that's good. Mm-hmm. I just wish they would have gotten rid of Andy. God dang it.
I hate Andy, man. It went from...
Well, he did lose his job, but
I hate
it. He's back. Like, he's gonna be a salesman. I'm like, good lord.
Why did they make him such a dick now? I used to
know.
I don't know what they did to that character. Really.
I just don't like Andy. I don't like his character. I don't think I ever have. I like Dwight and Jim. That's what makes the show.
He was okay at first because he was just like annoying.
That new intern they got is pretty cool. The guy with the glasses. I like
the guy from Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, Hot Tub Time Machine.
He has a little bit of weird in him.
They really, really messed up Angela this year by drawing the senator out and
her. Yeah, I don't know where they're going with that story.
That's going too long. And what are they going to do with that? Like the whole thing, the triangle.
I think she's gonna end up with Dwight. That's what I think.
Well, that's what they're kind of hitting towards now.
Just do it already.
Well, there's only like 2 more episodes left, I think.
Mm.
So it'll happen. I watched some Toy Hunter. The interesting thing about the last episode of Toy Hunter is they had another Toy Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having competitions at the Seattle Con, the Emerald one.
They were playing D&D, weren't they?
Yeah, he rolled a die.
They showed what happened?
Yeah. What? It is nasty. It only shows after 9 p.m.
Oh, a lot of lube involved, I bet.
That cable, right?
So there are a lot of lube involved.
They found a lot of like old sci-fi toys that were pretty cool from the 40s. I thought that was kind of neat. And then they were after Bionic Man Sasquatch. And I just my brother just bought me one, like a retro one, a remake, like replica, which is pretty cool.
Probably weren't a lot of those made, right?
Of the original?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rare. It's like a $7,000 piece.
Damn.
How much?
Like $7,000. It's one of those pieces that they didn't make a lot of. Yeah. And I don't even know what else I'm watching. I'm still trying to get through Spartacus, and I haven't started Vikings yet. That's the only reason I didn't add Defiance to the list is because I have so much shit on there that I haven't finished watching.
I've only watched one episode of Vikings, and I did like it, but it just wasn't something that I felt I had to add. Like, if it goes on Netflix, I'll watch it if it somehow or for who, you know, if they do something like that. But I don't know. I just couldn't. It wasn't enough to make me add it to my DVR.
Yeah.
Just wasn't enough. I know Keith loves it. Like, he talks about it every
time.
He
gets excited about it. I think they roll the die in that one.
They must roll the die. He absolutely loves it. Like, he goes crazy with it. It's insane.
How about you, Bill? Any TV you're watching or not watching anymore?
Nothing new, really. Although, I am watching the show on Hulu called Endgame. Yeah, Endgame. Which is about... It's about this chess master who is living in a hotel and can't leave the hotel because every time he leaves the hotel, he has a flashback of his girlfriend getting killed out right up front of the hotel. Because I guess they were staying there, right. And then she got killed as they were about to leave, and then he hasn't been able to leave, so now he, like, solves crimes from inside the hotel.
It's like a take on Monk a little bit, huh?
Yeah, it's a cross between Monk and the Mentalist.
Right. There was another one too, who the one who was having he was kind of schizophrenic, and he works for the FBI. He's a teacher, but if he doesn't take his meds, he sees voices, people that are not there, and he solves crimes. It was on TNT, I think.
Okay, sounds familiar.
Yeah, it was a summer show. It came on last summer. And it was I watched some of it and then I kind of forgot to watch it, and then too many episodes passed by and I just never went back. But it was okay. They do a lot of that now where somebody's mentally damaged but they're very smart, and they aid the cops or the FBI and
deal with their demons.
Yeah, deal with their demons.
Because that gives you the like larger story is their personal problems, and then you can do the episodic shows about the crimes.
Exactly. Like if Keith could not, they would do a crime show. He can't eat mayonnaise, right? Or he has to eat whatever's on his plate, and he solves crimes at the same time. But he just doesn't know how to deal with it.
He's got a flatulence problem.
So he can't go out amongst the populace, but he can solve crimes.
Keep bringing him food. He's eating so much.
He can't
stop. He said he's in pain. No, he'll eat through it. Don't worry.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's like they're torturing him. I'll just eat through it. I'll eat through it. I'll drink through it.
Do it.
Roll the die.
Roll the die.
I think we have the next horror theme, like the next Saw. Roll the die. You get my finger.
And then when you roll it and it hits the number and everyone just stops and you see the horrified expressions on their face.
You see Keith's finger coming.
Roll the die. And then it goes,
oh no.
You hit a five. You go. Everybody just stops. And then they come out of the room crying. I rolled a seven. I rolled a seven.
Holding their ass.
You can't unsee what I've seen. You can't undo what I've done.
And then the troll comes out of the closet.
Yeah. And then Keith comes out smiling, pulling up his pants, and he comes out smiling and he goes, listen, when you roll the die. No, he says, life's about rolling the die.
It's a
human condition.
Human condition.
And he just walks away laughing.
There you go.
Soda Stream.
Gotta just sell that to NBC.
I'm gonna sell it, man. I'm gonna pitch this. Somebody's gotta buy it. You can't beat this. Come on. It's new. Somebody's gotta buy it.
He likes beer a lot.
Yeah, a lot of beer.
And then when he says beer. Warehouse 13.
And Soda Stream. A lot of beer and Soda Stream. You don't even have to give him cups and stuff to put it in. Just keep the stream going and he'll take care of it. That's what he'll do.
He's going to put some hydroponics together now.
That's right. There's only weaknesses, mayonnaise. Keep him surrounded by a circle of mayonnaise. Keep him trapped. Mayonnaise at all sides. He can't get out.
Although he'll eat the mayonnaise. This premise would be a good down TV show because he's got this thing where he's really thinking in his head like, motherfucker, I ordered that pizza 1 hour ago. And then he doesn't say anything. He just sits there patiently until they deliver his pizza.
You know what? Bad waiters don't have to worry about Keith. Like, you could go. You would love to have Keith as your person to wait on because you could have dirt on his food and he'll eat it. And he won't complain.
Oh, he's thinking about complaining. Like,
oh, he's thinking about it the whole time while he's eating it.
And then he'll talk about it on the podcast.
Like, he's smiling. He'll be smiling at the waiter. Thank you. And in his mind, he's thinking, fuck, fuck, fuck.
So the waiter will accidentally drop it on the floor. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Let me go get you another. No.
Just leave it. And he's thinking, fuck, him, fuck. As he's putting each piece of it in his mouth. Fuck. Yeah. That basically sounds like what happens. That's basically what happens.
Keith is just going. You'd want to watch this shit.
Keith was supposed to show up tonight, didn't he? He swore, I'm coming to defend
myself.
I told you he was going to sit in his own filth in the morning. He wasn't going to get up.
Yo, he's playing D&D right now.
He probably played D&D the entire night. I don't think he even went to sleep. He just kept playing D&D.
Yeah.
He'd be like, the show is going to end. He's like, all right, let's go. And then you say it ends, and then he starts talking about something else. Like,
last night we ended the show and it went another 5 minutes.
You did it 3 times. You gave the email. I think you gave the Twitter out 3 times.
Yeah.
And then he started talking about something else.
Any other TV?
Or Banshee.
Banshee?
That is coming back. People need to look out for Banshee.
Are you watching Cinemax. That one that's... What is it, Orchid, or what is the fucking...
Oh, the BBC one?
It's got a lot of hubbub about it.
Black Orchid, right?
God, I can't think of it. I don't know if it's that.
It's Black Orchid. I think it's Black Orchid.
The title sounds cool, but it looks like a cop drama or something. I don't know.
Oh, it's...
Black Orchid was a comic.
Yeah.
This one is a BBC thing. Wait a minute, Black Orchid. It's about clones, actually. It's about this girl who she's pretty much a fuck up. Like she's a con artist, always in trouble. Has a daughter. The mother is taking care of the daughter. She's fucked up so many times that she can't even see her daughter. Because there's nothing really she could do about it because she has such a bad record of taking care of her that no court would give her the daughter. But she sees this girl, she goes out one day, she's on the train, and she sees this girl who looks just like her, but she's in a nice business outfit, and she takes off her shoes, gently puts her bag down, and then proceeds to jump in front of a moving train. So the girl sees her and looks in there, and it's a picture, and it looks just like her. So she takes the woman's stuff and her ID, and she goes home, and she's trying to figure out what the hell is going on? Why does this girl look like her? Is it my sister? You know, my twin sister or some shit like that? So it's just going through a whole thing. She sees there are other people that look like her too. Like a cop who pulled the gun on her and stuff and gets killed. And slowly there's a person killing people that look like her. So she kind of takes over the life of one of the characters. And... She fucks the girl's boyfriend.
This is BBC or
yeah BBC America. Yeah. Yeah. So they really have sex. Like they show it a lot. Like you see they get away with that. So she's pretending to be this cop. One of her clones or whatever she is a cop, and she is so far away from being a cop, it's not even funny. But she's trying to keep the secret of her being, because she pretty much pretended she was dead. Everybody thinks that she's dead, but she took over the cop's identity, and she doesn't know how to shoot a gun. She has no idea what a procedure is for arresting anybody. And then they find out little details with the other one. Another one of her clones is a scientist, and another one is a married woman, a teacher or something like that. And they're all just trying to keep the secret and find out what's going on. And she she's basically bumbling her way through this entire thing, trying to find out what's going on. And it's just interesting. I don't have all the, like, I don't know what exactly what the deal is yet, but it's just fun.
It's
pretty fun series. It's dark and it's funny and it's a lot of action. It's Orphan Black. That's why I keep messing it up.
Yeah, that's why it didn't sound right. Yeah, Orphan Black.
Oh, I've heard of that, yeah.
So
that's BBC, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah. It's already got picked up for a second season.
They're actually advertising that show like at the movies, like before the previews start. Mm-hmm. They'll advertise Black Orphan Black. It looked good. I just didn't know what the hell it was about. It was very vague.
Yeah, she's hot, so she keeps my interest.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty hot.
So let's jump to movies. I watched Oblivion. That was a good movie.
Didn't get to see that yet.
With Tom Cruise and two actresses that I thought were really hot. One they was are. Australian, and the other one was Greek? I can't remember. But good Lord, it's a good movie. It's a slow-paced movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really slow, but because it's like a mystery, but it's there's so much there to keep your interest visually and because of the mystery that keeps it going, and there's a lot of good special effects, even though it's a pretty simplistic plot. It's like this guy is in this nice looking place, like it's like above the ground, and he takes off in this cool looking spaceship every day, and he goes and repairs these drones, and these drones supposedly feed and protect the planet from these things called scavengers, or I think they're called scavengers or whatever, and you learn what those are later on, but it's got a cool twist at the end, which I don't quite understand all of it, but I didn't need to. It was really good.
Hmm. That's the one that was like based on an idea for a graphic novel.
That was weird. It was like I watched the previews at the end, and I was, you know, sitting there watching previews. It says based on a graphic novel, Oblivion, and I was like, what? I said, I read previews like all the time, and I don't know what the hell that is. So as soon as I got to my phone, I was like Googling it, and it said unreleased Radical comic, you know, called Oblivion. So,
and Radical was that print that pretty much is putting out just stuff for movies.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I think they printed it, but it was just black. Every page was just black, so no one knew it came out.
You think that the titles are too dark, huh?
All their stuff is dark.
I enjoy the Hercules one quite a bit, and I enjoyed the Western one a little bit. That was like King Arthur in the West.
They're still supposed to do that Hercules one. I think that was supposed to be a movie, too. They're still supposed to do that.
Are they still bringing out comics, or are they done?
I don't even know anymore.
Putting out reprints of stuff they've already done.
In a while.
I think they're just holding the line and then until they
get a movie out.
Yeah.
They brought out their movie and now they're done.
They're just trying to wait for the next one that looks like it'll be picked up.
But they did have that, what was that one you liked, Mike? It was like that mortuary or something, or a hotel or something.
Oh, The Aviator?
Yeah.
That was pretty fucked up. That was crazy dark horror. I was actually scared reading a comic, man.
Did they finish that one?
Yeah, they finished it. I didn't think they left any books like just hanging. I think they just stopped publishing for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've claimed like bankruptcy or anything. I just think
I don't think they come out with enough to claim bankruptcy. I think they just keep it at a certain amount.
But Oblivion was a good film. I've been going to a lot of films lately, and that was one of them. And then the other one was Iron Man 3, and I enjoyed that quite a bit.
No.
It was the best Iron Man.
Roll the dock. No, it's not.
You haven't seen it yet.
I know.
Don't be one of those people, Darryl. I'll go kick your ass.
Roll the dice. It better be good or else I'm going to punch you in the throat.
How much money has that made?
$1 billion. It already surpassed two other franchises.
It already went into the U.S. sales, like already doing like $600 million internationally. I mean, it was already a success. And now it's
$180 million business. I mean, $100 million opening weekend in the United States. It's crazy. This Avengers thing, man. It's real. It is definitely real.
I wonder if they're just going to let the Iron Man franchise go.
The buzz already is to see if he's only contracted only signed for on the three,
yeah.
And then the Avengers, and then he's contracted for two more Avengers. So I think they're already talking about can they get him to come back and do this, but they could put it with Rhodey.
Yeah, but I think a lot of what Iron Man is Tony Stark, and it's almost like with Batman, we've seen like a gazillion Batman. We've seen three in the original series, and then we've seen the new Batman, obviously. So we have like four Batmans and couple decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
But and we've seen a couple Hulks. We've already have three Hulks or three Bruce Banners, but I think Robert Downey Jr. has kind of like established himself as Tony Stark.
Yeah, he is pretty much.
Of all the ones I can mention, like he's like Christopher Reeve was with Superman. He's Iron Man. I mean,
he has fit Tony Stark so much in his real life. He has been there. He's been an addict, so he is kind of a likable guy who has went down in the depths of being of drugs and alcohol, and he came back from it.
Yeah.
So you identify with him. I remember when I saw him in Less Than Zero.
Remember, sucking you dick.
Saw that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. He did in the bathroom.
He was sucking dick for cocaine.
For drugs. Yeah. That's actually Keith.
All aboard.
He said Safe was pretty good.
Do you have a train thing come whenever Keith texts you or what?
Yeah. It goes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's Keith. I do them to fit the person.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
There's a train. Yeah.
You need to change it, though, to the sound of rolling die.
If I can find that, I think I will do that for him. It'll be...
and then screams.
Or I'll record something and make it my ringtone. I'll record... Roll it die. But, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is really... He is charismatic anyway, and even when he does bad shit, pretty much he hurts himself. But even when he
still comes across as being
remembered. You want him to work. Yeah. You want him to get better. You like him. He's likable. Other celebrities, when they get into trouble, you go, oh, fuck ups. You don't do that with him.
That's true.
Lindsay Lohan, it's like people make jokes of her fucking up, but with Robert Downey Jr., no.
Why?
You didn't hear a lot of jokes when he was going through his drugs. It was just sad. It was just what a waste of talent.
When he fell down the toilet, I think he was nominated for Chaplin, I think. Before he went to the drug place.
And at least he's one of those actors who didn't forget that the Iron Man, by getting this chance of being an Iron Man, this brought him back from the abyss in his career. I mean, like this really gave him
a lot of money.
The first it gave him a lot of money. And then it also put him in enough people's faces that, because he brought it though, when they also brought it. He didn't half ass act out. You know, he didn't half ass do the role. He did it. Like he was Tony Stark, and he was charismatic enough on film that other people wanted to hire him for other shit. They were like, he was able to do this movie. First, he was able to do the movie and not fuck it up and get drunk or high. Came to work every day, did his stuff, and left, and he was still okay. So that showed Hollywood that, okay, I can hire him for something, and I don't have to worry about him getting into trouble. Because the studio didn't even want him. It was Favreau that fought for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I think they're still friends to this day because of that, because he didn't forget that he fought for him. So, I mean, it's something. I think everybody identified with it, even you know, men and women, comic fans and non-comic fans, all identify with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what helped it. And then on top of it, they made a good movie. You know, on top of all that, they actually did good movies. And what I mean by good movies, I mean not something that some fanboy like me will sit there and jerk off to and watch, but actually you could bring other people that don't give a shit about any comic book in life, and they can sit down and watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people at my work that could give two shits about comic books, but yep, we're excited to go see Iron Man 3 this weekend.
And Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And they enjoyed it. So that's
there's no way comic book fans alone are going to...
No, we don't. Enough, we're not enough.
Enough to earn $600 million.
Look at Dredd. You look at Dredd. Dredd is a comic. They did Dredd the way that all us people who know about Dredd and who are into the comic books swore this is what we wanted. And it made 5 cents when it came out in the theater.
I think you're being generous.
Yeah, I'm being generous.
That actually made anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
I thought it did good overseas. It just couldn't.
It did overseas enough to break even. But they made it for nothing. Like, it was really cheap to make.
I want to buy that movie, but it's still so fucking high for the Blu-ray. I really enjoyed Dredd. I liked it a lot.
I did too. So, but you have to be able to do both things. And that's the difference. I think that's what failed with Green Lantern, which I know you liked, Mike, but it didn't attract enough. It wasn't a movie that attracted enough. In fact, nobody was happy for the most part. You had diehards that either loved it, and then you had the other part of the diehards that hated it, like me, and then you had the public that just pretty much was like, I can give a shit either way because I don't even know who Green Lantern is in the first place. And all the buzz is telling me it's bad, so why should I go see it? So hopefully Man of Steel will be the difference. Because that looks good.
I just wanted to mention to Bill, because I think he'll like Keith's pick. Daryl fucking hated it, but I really enjoyed it. It's called The 13th Floor Elevators. No, it's not. That's the band. It's called You're Going to Miss Me.
That's why you like, because elevators.
It's about the 13th floor elevators. I guess they're an obscure band that hit it fairly big in psychedelic rock. And it's pretty freaking interesting.
Yeah. That sounds like a Keith movie.
Yeah. I don't like psychedelic rock or prog rock and all that shit. And I like this movie. I like this documentary. I really liked it.
Check it out.
It was a human condition.
It definitely was a human condition. And it definitely was a dysfunctional family is putting it lightly.
Yeah, Todd and the ugliest kid on earth, that's just like that guy's family in real life. Them. It's terrible.
This is them.
Yep.
It's just that Todd went insane. Todd's family, this version of Todd went insane.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think you'll like it, Bill. I think you'll find it interesting.
If you like psychedelic rock, why not?
I don't even think you need to.
I don't like psychedelic rock.
Like psychedelic rock, I think. If you
like documentaries about messed up people, messed up,
then you'll really like this.
Oh, then you'll like it then. It's got that in abundance, so you'll like it.
Any other movies you want to mention?
What did I watch last week that I can't remember what it was? Oh, I watched what was that last Resident Evil?
Oh, I didn't watch that one yet. I don't know which one it was, but I want to see it.
I'm losing count on the numbers, but I still liked it. I'm still digging it. I think it's still good.
I think the only thing I watched Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, I didn't see that yet. How is it?
I liked it. I thought it was very interesting.
Is that out on DVD already?
Yeah.
I think wow. So.
I want to see that.
Yeah, it was good. It was very exciting. And I didn't really know a lot about the story, so it was all pretty much new to me.
Mm-hmm.
How it all went down, beat by beat.
And it went down.
It was good. It was very well done. And I know there was complaints about the torture stuff, but that's how I imagine it goes down, so.
What were their complaints?
That there were gratuitous scenes of torture.
I want to say to the audience, because that kills me when people get like that. You want, like, people that are gung-ho for violence like this? Like, I mean, when something happens in this country and you're gung-ho for it, you know, like, to punish the people that do something bad, you know, any type of terrorist attacks, guess what? When we retaliate, that's what happens. Shit goes down. It's not like G.I. Joe where they take down Cobra and it's happy and nice and everything is okay. When you go after somebody and you know, there's a chance you get killed when you're trying to get information or whatever it is.
They cross some lines.
Real violence goes down. Yeah, they cross lines. Real violence. Like, it's okay for you to do it up until I see it. I don't want to see it. No, get your hands dirty. This is what happens.
Yeah, and a lot of it, I mean, they got a lot of information via torture, and it's like...
Yes, because you're going to answer questions more. If I ask you a question and you don't like me, you're kind of apt to say, go fuck yourself. But if I punch you in the throat and then I ask you a question, I think you're more inclined to answer what I'm asking you.
If I tie you down and pour water all over your face.
That too. I think you'll answer my questions.
Or blast heavy metal music.
Not like the movies where they go, you know what? I know I was a bad guy and I'm going to change and I'm gonna be good now. I'm going to tell you what happened. No, it doesn't happen like that. No one thinks they're bad.
Yeah, and the main woman in the movie is... She did a really good job.
Even though she doesn't exist, right? Wasn't it in real life, it was like five or six different people.
Yeah, I don't know how much.
It was. It was, there was a bunch of different sources that independently, they worked independently and they got information, bits and pieces from each analyst and each person. And they were able to build this profile and find this guy. But they couldn't do it. I guess they didn't have enough time to put that all in the movie. So instead, they made an analog of one person.
Yeah, I think she is a real person, but they may have
put it all.
I could be wrong about that, but they may have changed it up. It was cool. I'm not sure. Well, I assume it's how they actually found out where he was, but it was pretty interesting how they finally ended up figuring it out.
wish they'd put that on instant streaming.
I wish, man.
Because I want to see that.
I mean, I like my big boobs and guns and stuff, but sometimes I would like to see some movies like that that I want to see. But I don't want to wait for it to be on Blu-ray. I want to see it now.
All right. You guys have any food or anything you want? I'm really hungry personally.
I'm eating salad nowadays. I don't know.
You're eating salad like every day of the week, or?
I actually eat, most of the time, I actually eat fruit every day now. Wow. Disgusting as that sounds. Yes. I'm actually, for fruit. Lunch, instead of eating like candy, you know, like instead of eating.
You don't have a sandwich?
No, sometimes for lunch. Well, for lunch, I'll have something, but I mean, when you have break in between.
Instead of having a Snickers bar, you'll have a fruit.
I'll have I'll eat a fruit, cut up fruit. They have a fruit stand that's near my job. They have two, actually, and they actually have fruit cups where they have fresh fruit that they cut up and put in a thing for you. And I'll buy that, and I'll eat that for break. And then I'll have lunch. So
you're not getting me very hungry. Bill, you got anything you want to mention?
Horrible.
I don't think I have
any. Pick us up, Bill. Pick us up.
I'm sorry.
I'm like the Chris Niesman of 11 o'clock.
Give me something else.
Give me something good.
I don't want to hear about your Peppy Mac.
I don't want any canned fish either.
I still don't eat seafood, see?
Yeah.
Yet.
Oh, it ain't happening.
But you're going to watch my next pick and you're going to change your opinion of that. Of Hero seafood? Dreams of Sushi.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I want to see that. I still haven't seen that one.
I'm still not going to want to
eat it. That's my challenge this week.
Yeah, I want to see that one.
I'm still not going to want to eat it.
I don't like sushi, though. That's raw.
I hate sushi.
Well, I love sushi.
Sushi is the devil.
Once you see how it's actually made, and you probably go out right after you watch it.
And not eat it?
I'm not a fishy person. Like, I'll eat fish. Like, I like shrimp, and I like cod, and all the bland, I'll say bland fishes, the ones that don't have that real fishy taste. And but I don't like, I mean, the most fishy that I'll get is like tuna.
Ugh. I don't even like tuna fish.
Nice rare seared tuna. Oh man.
Ugh.
That is good. Stuff doesn't taste fishy. It shouldn't taste fishy.
Tuna tastes pretty fishy.
It's fishy. It's tuna fish. It don't taste like chicken. Don't tell me that lie.
It doesn't taste any fishier than other fish.
Right. So I don't like any fish. So why would I eat that?
It's good for you. It's good for your diet.
Not doing it. I'll eat other things.
Well, I'll pick us up. I ate 18 wings yesterday, but I don't know what I'm going to eat for lunch.
Oh, I want that. I would love that. I have a taste
for barbecue. You don't like the wings that I like.
You like that hot sauce stuff.
I ate hot. I ate mango habanero, and I ate desert heat.
Wait. What's mango habanero?
That's a really hot wing. It's like a... How could you explain? It's like a habanero pepper with a mango, like a fruity taste to sweetness to it.
Oh, okay. Like, I've had the mango sauce. I had the wing spot I've had the...
Well, you would not like mango habanero because you said you don't like hot. Mango is, of all the wings I just mentioned, it's the hottest.
Well, this was just mango and barbecue sauce. It wasn't hot, though. It was mild.
They had hot barbecue at the wings place, but I didn't get that.
Oh.
I ate an egg sandwich this morning, and now I'm getting hungry. I'll eat something. I'm going to take Harley for a walk, and then I think Barb's getting her hair cut, and then we're going to eat.
How much snow did you guys get the other day?
We got about an inch, but it was freezing snow because everybody's sprinklers froze. They turn their sprinklers on, and you know how the pipe comes out of the ground? They were, like, spewing water, like. I went and took Harley for a walk, and everybody's sprinklers were all jacked up.
That's insane, man. Is y'all getting snow still now?
It was slippery, because Barb took my Durango, because she drives across town where I'm really close, and I drove the Elantra, and my God, I was sliding all over the freaking place. It was like a sheet of ice you were driving on. The Zamboni had just went over it.
Damn. It's like 70-something degrees here. 75 or something. I'm talking about New York. It's not even like it's Florida or somewhere.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Are you guys warm now, Mike?
I don't know. I haven't been outside, but I think we're like 50 today.
Jeez.
Wow, that's still for that's now. It's
warm, though.
For warm?
We're 50, it's yeah. Hey. I guess they're right on the knot. We're 50.
Where do you live, in Alaska?
I'll sweat walking Harley in 32-degree weather.
Well, Mike, I'm a fat guy. I sweat, period. I have the light. I always have my window open.
I'll come in from walking Harley in 32-degree weather, and I'll be drenched.
Yeah, that's different. That's because we're doing something. If we're because you're doing any exercise, that's different. But I'm just saying, this is a regular temperature. That's still kind of a low temperature for May.
Yeah.
Wow. I would love it there. I hate it when it's too hot. I'm fat. I don't like it when it's too hot outside.
Do you have air conditioning?
I start sweating. I ain't got a six pack. I ain't putting on them shirts. You show up your body.
Well, pretty soon you'll be losing weight. And you'll be like, it's too cold in here. It's chilly and it's like 73. You'll be like, I need
to jacket. I will not grow a vagina. I will still be man and love the cold. Damn it. I'll never get that skinny. That ain't happening.
I'm picking Keith movies, so all hell's breaking loose. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you, Mike.
Yeah, what inspired this choice anyway?
I liked his movie.
He got an innie. His Audi went innie. He had a vagina. I don't know what happened. And he was all, yeah, you great pick. You loved your pick. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
He picked good comic too. Legion of Superheroes is off the hook awesome, man.
Okay, I didn't care about the comic pick. I'm just like, what? I'm mad about the fucking movie pick that you sitting there. Like, oh, it was great. You won. I was like, what? I'm watching it sitting there bored out of my mind. I'm trying to read other shit. I'm reading comics, watching porn, trying to do anything to keep my focus from falling asleep because I was about to fall asleep. And then I get a text. Oh, Keith picked the. He won. I was like, what the fuck did you win?
He
did.
You're watching it and you're like, I can't wait to get on the show and Mike and I can rip into this movie.
Yes! I'm like, we're going to get in the ass of this movie.
You're making notes how much it sucks.
We're going to get in the ass of this
movie. We're going to get in the ass.
We're going to roll a six on this movie.
We're going to roll a six on this shit. And then I'm like,
I let him down. I loved it. Let him down.
Great.
It was great.
It touched me. It touched me.
It touched me. I was like, what?
Okay. It touched me. That's Keith.
What the fuck happened to you?
Touch.
the human condition. I feel it.
What? How the hell did that happen?
What?
You let the human condition take you over like that.
I'm sorry. Let you down.
Don't let that happen again. Okay? Don't let that happen again.
Let you down.
You did. You let me down. I mean, you made up for it with the roll of dice stuff. It made him so mad. That made me feel better.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen him that flustered in an episode.
You poked him all night. We poked him so many times. He didn't know what to do. You got to talk G.I. Joe 3 times.
Poor Keith.
I roll a 6. He's like, yes. And then Duke. And then I roll a 6. And then he go, oh, Lord.
Jesus Christ. Jesus.
Alan, can you help me?
Alan turned him down.
Alan, help me. He's on Twitter and he's on Facebook trying to ask people, begging people to help him.
Alan told him to ride your noble steed, young warrior.
He made it worse.
Well, I messaged
we went off Alan. On that.
I messaged Alan and I said, what does it mean in D&D when you roll a 6? So Alan doesn't know what we're making fun of it. So he's going, it depends on what you need. If you need to hit something tough, it's bad. If you need to save against something dangerous, it's good, I think. So we turned that into something horrible. Because number 6 on the die was anal. So we just kept, it just made it worse for Keith. It just made it totally worse. It was great. It was awesome. It was like one of those days where you're playing ball and you every ball hit the basket. It was awesome. All net.
Daryl was shooting. He couldn't miss.
No. We were passing the ball to each other with our eyes closed. We was making passes like Mike.
In the back.
Take it. And Mike got it with his fingertips. He put it in. We were pulling down T's pants and rolling the ball under his legs, passing it to each other.
We were like the Harlem Globetrotters teasing the ref. And Keith was the ref.
Keith didn't know what to do, man. It was so bad. Keith, don't roll up the side of the road. Don't crash or nothing while you're yelling. I don't want you to get too upset.
We were waiting for you to come defend yourself.
We did. You never showed up. I tell you, he wouldn't remember. He would be passed out. He won't remember the next day.
He's too busy watching the mutant schoolgirls.
Oh yeah, he said that was so great.
Now I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm worried now. I don't want to watch it no more. Now I don't want to watch it. I just think that means he's watching porn. That was a cold word. Come on, his wife's not there. He was watching. Any man be watching porn right now. You know how much you can knock out? His wife is gone for 4 days. You watch so much porn that your eyes are like bleeding. Like you watch so much porn that you're tired of it. By the time your wife comes back, you're tired of porn. You don't even want to watch it no more. You're anti-porn by then. It's so ridiculous. It's like having too many women. It's like you go to a beautiful. It's like falling on Thermascara, and all the Amazons want to hang out with you. It's just so many. You just don't know what to do with yourself. Do I want a brunette right now? Do I want a blonde? I want some Trivin? What I want right now? I don't know. Let me just close my eyes and just click it. Then you
click,
make a mistake.
Click it or tick it.
Then you make a mistake and you hit shemales and then you go, oh. Well, nobody's here to judge me. Let me watch it for my life.
On that note, this has been Geek Brunch episode 181. I think 181. So. And Keith, we only tease because we love you.
Exactly.
If we didn't love you, we wouldn't tease. We
wouldn't bother.
You wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah. You work hard for this.
It's so much. That's a good analogy, though. We couldn't miss a basket.
Keep going. Where he go? Where that ball go? Then the ball falls on top of his head. From the hit to
the bouncing off his head. Passing.
You can reach Daryl at TheVoice123 on Twitter. You can reach Bill at DBM00. And me at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. Micah is do_what. He couldn't, unfortunately, he couldn't be here because he was out partying last night. We have a Facebook page. If you type Geek Brunch space podcast, you'll find that on Facebook. We have forum for geeks. Scroll down to Geek Brunch. We have a thread for every episode. And, the episode that we were talking about is a DC Noise where we were poking fun at Keith. You have to prepare yourself, though, because that was a lot of ridiculous. There's a lot of role playing in there.
When has it not been?
A lot of role playing in those DC Noise episodes. By the way, those episodes might not air for another week or two because I still got one in the. I have three episodes in the can. I got to get one of them out today. Anything you want to plug, Bill? Roll a six.
Not that I. Nope. Nothing.
Whatever happened to the one webcomic where that you turned me on to where the guy draws like Kirby-ish? Like,
I don't know. He disappeared.
Yeah. I saw him on Facebook, like his page, but then it never posts anything on it.
Yeah, he hasn't brought anything new out yet since last year or so.
Maybe he got caught up with work and stuff and he just had to stop.
Yeah, I think he's been doing a lot of commercial work.
Mm-hmm.
Like stuff that pays graphic design and stuff. Yeah, actual money. Fool.
Money, 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 money.
Yep. He prefers money to comics for some reason.
Crazy. That's crazy talk.
All right. Well, thanks for being on, Daryl. And we'll talk to you guys in another couple weeks.
Yep. And remember, Keith, it all started when Daryl came on.
You can blame me. I'll take it.
He's still mad at you from the Geek Brunch. You and Micah.
Just because we.
He did so much mention me.
He mentioned Bill. He mentioned Bill a lot.
He called Bill out a lot.
He mentioned Bill a lot. He was betrayed by Bill. Bill betrayed him.
It's okay for him to say you like dick, but when you turn it around on him, he doesn't know what to do.
If I talk bad about D&D.
Yeah.
You punished him, man. You punished him hard. He didn't know how to deal with it.
Over the line.
He didn't know how to deal with it. He was so hurt. It's over the line. You touched his die. You don't touch his die.
Touch his die.
When you touch his die, you make him upset.
You move my die.
You went too low. You don't touch the die. He got all pretentious. He was like, wait a minute. It's a respectable game.
I gotta go back and listen to the original thing that fired him up.
I listened to it about 2-3 times. I think I should listen to it every day. It's fun.
It makes you happy.
It does. Because I can hear him curse every time Bill said. Yeah, and then she bent over and then the titties was hanging out. I was like, oh my God, Keith is upset. He's mad right now. You know what? You should do it for RetroCast. Get Chris. Get Chris Ivey. You and Chris Ivey start talking about it too. Throw the die in that show too.
That's too late for that one. We did that one early this morning.
All right, for the next one. And let Chris, and Chris, last thing should be fall asleep on that one, Keith. Roll the die.
He's going to hate us.
He can't hate us. He loves us.
All right, well, make up your mind about heroes, Bill. You're running out of leeway.
I hate to come, so Keith can punch you in the stomach.
You can look forward to that. Yeah. All right, well, I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one.
Later.
Bye.